Week, the world saw Jimmy Fallon nerdgasm over the televised reveal of a playable Nintendo Switch running Zelda Breath of the Wild. We'll have more about this and the most important part, all three co-hosts you know and love, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 669 for this December the 11th of 2016. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you from Sacramento, California's Studio N7 with my co-host to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. First off, welcome back, Dark Sakura, Jamie Summers. How you doing?
I'm back, bitches.
Is your mic on, though? You're not going to be able to do very
How's
much
that?
Without a mic on.
As I was saying, I'm back, bitches.
A little rusty.
It off because I still have a bit of a cough left. So
I will feel better, for one. But
it's just leftovers.
Yeah. But nice to have you back. How was your month?
Well, kind of boring and weird for having to work weekends. And I spent the past 3 weeks sick, so.
Yuck.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
But at least all's changed now, and your schedule clears your way to do OLR again for the rest of time.
And the funny thing is that I didn't realize I had done a day trade with somebody.
Uh-huh.
So I had to work yesterday, but I have a 3-day weekend coming up, so.
Nice.
Woo!
Nothing wrong with 3-day weekends.
Nope.
I like 3-day weekends. Also a fan of 3-day weekends. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
It's like everybody else on the face of the planet.
That's right. Who hates 3-day weekends? Bring them
well,
to me.
Well, I can find reasons to hate 3-day weekends, yes.
Loki, you missed out, man. Last night here in Sacramento, we had a double feature, and I was fortunate enough to get to host this. We had a double feature of Kung Fury and Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Your favorite
awesome.
Movie, Kung Fury. But I just figured you didn't go because of, you know, family stuff. The wife probably wouldn't let
you
go.
Yeah, and I completely forgot about it.
Well, you know what? For what it's worth, I while I was there, since, you know, I got to do interviews and stuff, I brought a little piece of it back for you since I know you're such a fan of Kung Fury. All right. So there's a little...
Still waiting on my Blu-rays, too. Apparently, those haven't shipped ever. So and that's awesome.
So anyway, that's an autographed picture
awesome.
Of Andreas Colling, who plays Thor in the movie. We actually had as a special guest last night, and I actually had him make it out to Loki. So there it is. He was a great guy. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so
I'm
going to
hang that at my desk.
All right. Awesome. So I knew you'd get a kick out of that. Dark Sakura, I'm sorry. I would have got you one too, but you haven't even seen the movie yet, right?
No.
You need to see it at some point. It's so
Dude,
ridiculous.
It's
ridiculous.
It's on YouTube. It's like 45 minutes long. It's
I just
awesome.
Haven't been interested.
Not even that. 30 minutes.
Really?
It's yeah, like 40 it's like 30 minutes. Yeah, it's short. It's
got
short.
David Hasselhoff theme song.
It's one of those things where you're like, this is so fucking ridiculous. I actually kind
of
like it.
It stars one of the guys from Lonely Island as Hitler.
It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Okay. Anyway, let's see. And of course, always joining us here in our chat room, our live audience and chat over at live.vognetwork.com, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And hello, everybody, to our chatters, starting with SSJ100 Matt, who says, I hate 3-day weekends because they're not 4-day weekends. There's no pleasing some of you out there. No pleasing some of you. And then a few people talking about Kung Fury there in chat. ActDef says it's hilarious. And Bob Coffee says, best part of that is Triceracops. Yes.
Yes.
That is awesome. I made some joke on stage last night because there's this scene where the gold bird and the dinosaur fight each other with their tiny little hands. They're fighting each other. So I made a tiny hands joke, and I'll just let you fill in the gaps where I went with that joke. All right. Oh, yes, and Hacker Man. Oh, my God. Anyway, all right. Look, this isn't a Kung Fury podcast. It's a video game podcast. So we're going to get into some gaming news here at the top of the show. Let's talk about... we've had a lot of big anticipated game releases this year. Final Fantasy XV, of course, we were talking about last week. The Last Guardian just came out in the last week. I know a lot of people picked that up. Very excited to play that. You know, and that's just kind of the end cap. The last two delayed games that were supposed to come out earlier in the year, but here they are. So we're really only left with one big game release left for this year, and that is this week's Super Mario Run is coming out on mobile. And
your expectations. I'm just saying.
Some people would say that's not a major release. But
it's
I'm
not.
I'm sorry. A lot of people have been pressuring Nintendo to do mobile, and Pokemon Go doesn't super count because that was the Pokemon company, which isn't it's complicated. This is Nintendo, actual Nintendo IP and property. Like, they're putting Mario on a non-Nintendo device. This is kind of a big deal because this could be, you know, a huge thing for
it's
Nintendo.
Not that
it could
big
be the
of a
CDI.
Deal. I
mean, it could be the CDI.
Yeah, I was gonna say they put it on the Philips CDI. I mean, that's.
So, yeah, but because of that, they haven't done it in a long time. So, I don't know. I kind of think Super Mario Run is a big, big deal. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of you saw the piece on Jimmy Fallon this week or heard about the fact that Super Mario Run demo is out in stores now, right? The Apple stores, I think I'll have it.
Let me run right out to go play a demo of a game.
Well, okay, some people did because some of the YouTubers saw the opportunity to, if I can get the recording of it first and get it on my YouTube channel, I'll get lots of hits. There's lots of YouTubers out there who went and played the demo, and, you know, you can see this out there now. So you can get a pretty good sense for what the game's going to be like. And I have to admit, it looks neat. I'll probably pick it up. Why not?
And you'll probably finish it in an hour, and then that'll be that. And I'm goddamn serious, because I was reading the early impressions from people, and they said, yeah, it's a neat game, but it's short. There's like 24 levels, and that's it.
JD is in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, who asked, does Miitomo not count? Yeah, it probably should, based on the words I chose, but the reason why I'm not considering Miitomo is because Miitomo was kind of like a new thing, whereas like Mario is a very established kind of thing. Like, I just don't put the Mii caricatures and Mario on the same level of Nintendo like stuff to out there.
I gotta point out, Active saying Portal can be finished in 30 minutes, and Portal is one of the best games ever. Yeah, well, that's speedrunning that shit. And you know what? I'm not talking about speedrunning this game. I'm talking about that is the actual playtime of the game is 1 hour when you visit all the content. I mean, shit, you could beat certain games in like a couple minutes. That doesn't mean that they're great. And
the old school Atari 2600 games.
Here's my thing: is they're hoping for a repeat of the craziness that was Pokemon Go. This is not going to happen with this game. I'm sorry, it's just not, because it's not a completely social phenomenon. It's not something that, you know, gets people out and changes the way that they play gaming, just like, you know, Louis did. This is just another fucking runner game on a mobile platform that has a million fucking runner games, but it has another licensed property that people like. That's it. Lower your fucking expectations, because it's not the fucking godsend of, like, mobile gaming. This is not going to change mobile gaming. People are going to forget about this shit in about a month.
And I would ultimately say, to be fair, I would ultimately say almost everything you said ultimately doesn't matter. The part I agree with, it's not going to do as well as Pokemon Go, and that's where I stop agreeing with you. Because, and it's not, I don't think that this game is going to be a critical darling by any means. I don't even think it's necessarily going to be a good Mario game. It'll probably be a competent Mario game, but I don't think it's going to stand the test of time as a Mario Brothers 3 or a Mario World or something like that. But at the end of the day, Loki, here's my argument. It doesn't matter what you or I think. It doesn't matter what most of the listeners of this program think, because the majority of the people, I mean, sorry, but that's like my honest answer. The majority of the people who are going to buy this are not your, using my quotey fingers, hardcore gamers. It's not even really your casual gamers. Because now, you know, a lot of the 30 and 40-year-olds in this day and age remember Mario and played it at some point in their lives. And I think there's just going to be a lot of people who buy it because, oh, hey, it's a Mario game on my device. And it's people who probably, like, otherwise would never buy a Wii U for themselves, maybe for their kid. I just think there's a whole – and I think that's the whole reason why Nintendo's pushing mobile is this is a game for them. This is not a game for the rest of us. And you kind of have to realize that's where it is now. Nintendo's going to chase the money.
Yeah, I understand Nintendo's going to chase the money. And it's nice to see them have – you know, this is the first step for them being, you know, a non-console publisher and just, you know, third-partying all the shit, which I'd be totally fine with, playing Mario games on my PlayStation.
Yeah, that's what all the hardcore gamers are frothing over, but we're not ready for that yet. We need to get we need to see what happens with the Switch, and then we can start having those discussions.
All I'm saying is, though, it's like, I don't know, fine, I'm sure it'll do well, I'm sure they'll say, oh, it was a great success, but my expectations aren't very high for it. Now, what? Animal Crossing,
Okay.
That may be different.
All right. Well, look, and this, Loki, this probably won't make you happy either. And this is, it's one of those things where it's surprising and it's not, was this little tidbit of information that came out this week. Because Nintendo has been pushing the publicity tour for this so hard, they want the day one to be big. I don't think the Apple Store has ever done a notify me of with when this comes out thing before. I don't think that's ever happened before on the stores. This is like a new thing. So Nintendo really wants day one to be big for this thing, right? But with the publicity tour comes the Q&A, and a lot of things have come out about the game, and this one is going to, I don't know, some people are going to be concerned about it. Super Mario Run is going to require you to be online at all times.
I don't think that's a huge deal breaker, because there's a lot of online games that do require that, or mm-hmm. mobile games, I should say, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, I don't play a ton of mobile games, but I know there are others out there, some major ones.
Well, Pokemon Go would be a great example, actually.
Well, that's a little different. I mean, that's not a game that you can really play without an internet connection anyways, and it's... But this is not... This is a platformer game. This is something yeah. that you should... potentially not need that connection. I mean, I could see the update if you want to, you know, submit that score you just, you know, got to an online leaderboard. Yeah, you need an internet connection.
Huh. I'm actually kind of surprised that you are accepting this as
well. I'm fully accepting that Nintendo is several decades behind the trend of networking, and so this always online connection thing, that was a few years ago, so they're catching up. It's just they're slowly getting around to it.
Here's what's interesting about this, too. Whereas, you know, when Diablo 3 did it, they tried to come up with a whole list of reasons on why it needed to be always online, right? And that was about stopping the cheating, which got through anyway, and all this other stuff, right?
Right. SimCity can only really right. be always
online. Oh, right. Oh, boy. Okay. But, interestingly enough, Nintendo has basically just come out and said, no, it's because of piracy. We don't want this game to get pirated. Like, so you got to give a... I know, right? Have another laugh, Loki. Have another laugh. But you got to at least admire that they're being upfront in that
regard.
No,
I don't. I don't have to admire that at all, because right. this is the platform that you're on, and I'm sorry. Too bad.
I want to give you the exact words here. In an interview with Mashable, Miyamoto said, "For consumers who are purchasing the game, we want to be sure... to make sure that we're able to offer it to them in a way that the software is secure and they're able to play it in a stable environment." Went on to comment about the number of countries the game is launching in as opposed to a normal Nintendo product. So there's all these additional countries, and they want to make sure that all the services are as secure as possible. Security is also being cited as part of the reason why the game is an iOS exclusive. For those, however long it's going to be, I don't know, a month or 2 months or whenever the gap is until it's on Android. So, Loki,
right.
dying not right. to laugh over there.
Yes, I'm totally sure it was a security issue. They were so concerned about security and not that they were being paid by Apple to have a timed exclusive. I'm sure that has nothing to do with it at all. Please. What, they think I'm fucking stupid?
To be fair, Loki, I'd buy it.
What does it matter anyway? The decision is made. We don't need a reason. It just is what it is.
What are your thoughts on Super Mario Run? Not even necessarily this whole piracy thing, but just the game in general.
I'll play it, you know, but I don't really care why it's exclusive to one versus the other. If that's their decision, that's their decision, and the reasons don't matter. What can we do about it?
And it's not even really an exclusive, it's a timed thing.
Even so, it's not our decision, and their reasons, if knowing the reason why, changes nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
which, to be fair, Ingress was an Android exclusive, and I still play the crap out of that, unfortunately. So, I mean, it can work both ways. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to say, because I kind of agree with this comment in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. It's Raginator in chat says, mark the date and time, everybody. I really agree with Raginator on something. Raginator says, wouldn't the always online thing kill your mobile data cap? That's the first place my mind went. Isn't like it's how much is this always online thing going to use?
But the security, you got to be secure in this day and age, and you wouldn't want piracy. God forbid Nintendo think about other people.
Yeah, but
you know
how
what?
Much of my 2 gigabyte plan, which I don't actually have, I'm clinging to my unlimited plan through my carrier that they don't offer anymore, like a freaking, you know, nobody's business. Like, I won't get rid of it. So, and if they force me to get rid of it, I will switch carriers. I've been with the same cell phone company for 10 years. If they make me get off my unlimited plan, I'm switching to Sprint or T-Mobile. I don't even care that their networks, or, well, I guess Sprint's is pretty good. I don't even care that T-Mobile's network is not so hot, at least in this area. So I will jump ship to that if they make me lose that. And this is part of the reason why is crap like this is, like, you know, all these data providers keep saying, like, Comcast and all these other providers keep saying, oh, well, with this, you can do so much of this and this and this. And it's like, okay, that's what grandma does. I play a lot of games that use a lot of bit rate, you know? So anyway, sorry, I don't mean to get on tangent, but my point is, how much of this data cap am I going to use playing Mario Run? Now, granted, if I'm at home and I remember to put my phone on the Wi-Fi network, then I guess that won't matter. Well, there's my Comcast cap. Well, but that one's pretty big.
I wouldn't worry about it too much. I mean, the game's only about an hour long, so you're not going to use much of your data cap. You'd be bored of it before it gets to be a problem.
Okay, so ActDeft goes here and says, I don't think Super Mario Run is going to use more than Pokemon Go. Probably some kilobytes at most. You're right, ActDeft, but I think at the same time we have to recognize those are both clearly different games. And I guess I do agree with Loki on something here, is that with Pokemon Go, there's that expectation that, okay, yes, if I'm going to be out in the real world, of course this is using data, downloading maps and so forth. But Mario Run being a platforming game that has nothing to do with online environments outside of high scoreboards and that sort of exchange, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't necessarily need that data consumption. You know what I mean? Like, you expect it with Pokemon Go. Like, you know that
least,
going in.
At least I give them...
Mario Run is more
I give
hidden.
Them props. I mean, albeit they weren't entirely direct, but I mean, I give them props to, like, at least saying that, oh, it's because of copy protection. It's a shitty reason to do it. But, like, at least they didn't try to spin it with, you know, some sort of, oh, multiplayer leaderboards, and, oh, it's a social aspect. It needs to be connected. I mean, I don't know. It's stupid. But you know what? I don't care because I'm not going to download it. So whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's seriously, you got to understand, Nintendo. Yes, people love Mario, but it's a mobile platform you're on. There's a million fucking runner games out there. And I'll be honest. Yeah, they may not have Mario with them, but there may be other games that are much better than yours. And even, like, I really don't like the new Super Mario Brother art style. I really wish they would just have done away with that. But whatever. I mean, that's what they decided to use and reuse those assets and everything for this game. So whatever. I mean, I don't care. It doesn't appeal to me. I'm not going to play it. That's it.
So you don't think there's anything this game can do to win you over? The Jimmy Fallon and all this stuff?
No, I watch how the game plays. I know that the game's short. I don't give a shit about the kingdom building part of it. I don't care. There is nothing that appeals to me in this game.
They didn't really explain enough about the kingdom building part for me to understand, like, what that is. Does that make sense?
I just don't care, yeah. I mean, it's just... watching him play it, I'm like, wow, this is not exciting.
So, okay, so I'm looking, I just was curious because I see in chat, ActDev says, I do have a 2 gigabyte data cap. I don't ever get to 2 gigabytes, even with Pokemon Go. I decided to look up what my usage looks like right now. Okay, since December 3rd, you ready for this? Since December 3rd, I've used 2.2 gigs.
Yeah, I believe that. I have 3 gigs, and I normally use almost all of it.
And I want to say in the past month, I like when I pull my reports, I'm usually like about 8 gigs a month. And I'm not using my phone for anything illegitimate. I don't do piracy or any of that garbage on my phone. Like, everything I do is either it's Spotify or it's probably fucking Ingress and Pokemon Go and shit. Like, I'm starting to question, like, how much data am I really using with those games? You know what I mean? But it could be Spotify. I listen to Spotify a lot in the car. Like, that, I don't...
I occasionally, you know, what lot will kill my data cap is occasionally I'll... because my... for whatever reason, Ingress doesn't work on my Wi-Fi network at home. I don't know why, but for some reason, it just doesn't work with it, which is odd, because I didn't do anything to it, so I'm not sure why. But so I'll shut off the Wi-Fi to, you know, if I want to recharge or whatever, play, you know, do organization crap with it. And so sometimes I forget to turn it back on, and then I go watch a YouTube video, and it's like, oh, shit, there goes like a...
I do the same thing. I do the same thing, is that sometimes my Wi-Fi, like, screws up, and it doesn't, like, work the internet the same way, so I turn it off, and then I forget to turn it back on, and I'll do the exact same thing.
Or my work Wi-Fi, it's slow, so, like, I'll be trying to view a web page or something, the page isn't loading, so I'll switch the Wi-Fi off to load it faster over 4G, and I forget when I'm listening to like a podcast or something.
You know what would be great? I need to submit that. Does Tim Cook have a suggestion box? Does he have an email address I can email him at? Because I want to send a suggestion that says, put a button in the next iOS that disables Wi-Fi for 5 minutes. That would be brilliant, and then it just automatically comes back on.
Apple.com/feedback.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna do it. I would do it live during the show if we didn't have stories coming up I got to focus on first. All right. So anyway, we will see. I'm very curious to see how well this Super Mario Run does. Are there going to be a lot of folks like Loki who say, pass, this just looks like a throwaway garbage type of game? Or are there going to be enough other people where this thing makes
tons of money? Garbage. I'm just saying that it's not – it's lazy is what it is. It's just – it's just a lazy game. They're reusing assets. They're putting minimal effort into creating a game, and then they're just throwing it out there because they figure it's Mario. People are going to eat the shit up, and we're going to make a quick buck. And they know they're going to make a quick buck because that's why they're on Jimmy Fallon fucking promoting an iOS game, is because they know they're going to make bank off of it because people are like, oh my God, Mario, I got to buy that.
Do they promote like Clash of Kings or what are those games? What's the Mariah Carey game?
They have commercials for that shit all the time, like Bubble Strike.
Do they promote that stuff on Jimmy Fallon as well?
I don't watch enough Jimmy Fallon, to be honest.
Neither do I. I don't watch like any. The only late night TV thing I watch is on Netflix.
I know he does game stuff usually during E3, and that's kind of a mix everywhere, and they do Nintendo stuff a lot, but.
Interesting.
I don't watch him.
The only late night show I watch, I don't know if I should talk about this on the show, but I watch Chelsea pretty religiously on Netflix. I think she's hilarious, even though I understand why a lot of people don't like her. But she was more the type that she sent somebody to BlizzCon to make fun of it. So she sent that guy from American Pie. Was it Jason Biggs? Is that his name? The guy who was on Orange is the New Black? She sent him to BlizzCon. He's on her show all the time. And she sent him to BlizzCon because she's like, I don't want to fucking go. So she sends him, and I actually did not find the piece to be insulting or anything like that, or I'd probably be really mad and say, like, I thought it was silly, as a late night talk show ought to be, is a little silly. So anyway, that's just my take on late night. All right. If we're moving on to late night TV, we've obviously exhausted the topic of Super Mario Run, but we'll see how the game does this week. I'd be very curious for those of you that pick up Super Mario Run this week, what your thoughts are on the game.
Here's what would be fantastic, which is impossible because it doesn't have any controls, so you can't really play games with the precision that you need for it. But like a game like Super Mario Maker on iOS would be fucking amazing. That would probably be crazy, you know, awesome, that this could be a big social thing. But no,
it's a runner game. That. No, I don't want it.
And it wouldn't work because there's no buttons.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That's the one reason I don't want it. Until there's a standardized D-pad controller type thing that Apple, Android, whatever like ecosystem puts out, and I'm not talking third party, like I'm saying either Apple puts out a joystick themselves, or there's some type of, I know that's harder to do on Android, but some type of officially adopted standard at least or something. I don't want that to happen, because those games that do the D-pad on the touchscreen end up being garbage. Like, how many times has Luminous fooled me with a mobile release? Like, oh, I'm going to love it because it's Luminous. I'm going to eat this shit up because I love Mizuguchi and I'll play anything he puts out. And then I play Luminous on mobile devices and I'm like, God damn it, this game sucks without a D-pad. So, how many times are they going to fool me?
I actually have a really good controller that works on my Apple TV.
Does it? Well, but...
And it also works for iOS.
Does it work with a phone?
Yeah.
It's Bluetooth, probably.
It's like Bluetooth. It's the SteelSeries.
Okay, because I have that iCade thing that I've used
not
my iPad
quite
with.
The same, but... Okay. But well, it's like a standard, you know, maybe about the size of an Xbox controller. And we were playing Sonic CD with it.
If I'm not mistaken, though, I could be wrong, but because those things are not, is it an official Apple device?
No, it's a third party, but it's
no, so
but
there's
it's
no sold, standard.
But it's sold on the Apple website.
It's okay. A thing that you can use for it. Like, I have the iOS, or not iOS, the Android version of it, because that doesn't make any fucking sense that a Bluetooth device can't fucking work on one platform and another platform. Thank you, Apple, for that shit. But I don't know. It's just, it works good for, like, Minecraft.
Wait, but doesn't a game have to choose to enable that? Like, because that's the problem
yeah.
I ran into.
Yeah, the games have to be compatible with Bluetooth for it to work.
See, and that ends up being the real problem. Like, even though those devices are good,
that's been something.
It's not a standard. It's not a universal standard.
But they've had that available. That was one of the standards I thought they introduced with iOS 7, but I don't know.
Whether or not it's on the operating system is one thing. The game has to support it.
Exactly. And I don't know. Maybe Luminous does support it. To be fair, I haven't tried. But anyway.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase banana.
I do want to move on and talk about our gaming weeks, the types of video games that we have been playing this week, be it mobile devices or consoles or PCs or whatever. Loki, actually, no, I'll start with Dark Sakura. You've been gone for so... Sorry, I'm so out of practice with you being gone for 3 months. I instinctively go to Loki first. Dark Sakura, now that you're back, how was your gaming week? Maybe I should have started with Loki.
I played Animal Crossing.
Like the DS one?
Yeah.
Oh, did you finally get that patch that
yeah,
okay,
I did.
Okay.
It you get a campsite. That's it. And like amiibo support, but I haven't played with the amiibo stuff yet, but it was kind of neat walking around, and because of the changes you get like a new dream address. So you make a new dream town and everything. It was nice. All my people were there and Isabel cleaned the town. And I harassed Resetti, Reset-san, and that was great. I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft because I missed it so much, and it is far superior to Final Fantasy XIV in every way, except for graphics.
She was, even though she's incorrect, she was bragging about her eye level when she walked in here.
I hit eye level 863. Which I went from 856 to 863 because of one epic item. And now I can like handle elites by myself so I don't have to party with other people because I hate that. I play an MMO to play by myself. And to play with my guild friends. But
she's a strong, independent MMO player.
Who don't need no man.
No need no party.
Exactly.
She's a strong independent mage.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm playing a demon hunter.
Oh, excuse me.
I've been playing my mage some.
She doesn't party with you. She hunts you.
We've been calling them demon hunties.
Right.
So, I've also been playing a little bit of Danganronpa 2, Sonic CD on the Apple TV, which was because it's got the Japanese track. Hello.
Of course.
It's great. But the both of the theme songs, well, the Sonic Boom one was there, but the Japanese one had no lyrics. It was just instrumental like they did for the Steam release. It handles really, really well with that controller that I have, the Steel Series. It's a really nice controller. Very comfortable, pretty hefty, though. I know I played some other stuff. I played some pinball, actually. You know, Blastroids, because we have that Blastroids cabinet. And Dan's been playing a lot of Uno.
Random.
Online.
Like the new one or the 360 one?
Whatever some online website thing is. I'm like, what are you doing? Because
I
want to
say
for?
Ubisoft or somebody put out a new Uno like
they put
a
out.
Month or two ago.
Well, Ubisoft.
About
is
Uno a
have...
month ago?
Well, Ubisoft better be watching their ass in other ways. News to come later.
Was that it for your game week?
Yeah, I guess.
Then we'll go to Loki.
Oh, wait.
We won't go to
I'm
Loki.
I'm still trying to catch a ditto.
I caught one here at the house.
Well, I'm going to pull out my
phone. It was a Rattata. Everybody else I know got it from a Pidgey, but I got one from a Rattata.
Rattata-tat-tat.
Rattata-tat-tat. And hey, and if nothing else, like, seriously, this is a Pikachu farm.
Oh, yeah?
I catch a Pikachu outside, like, every hour.
And the other thing, Miitomo is actually a lot more fun now.
I heard they did a lot of changes to it.
I decorated my room, so I have like six posters in my room. I have Garrus, Cullen, Illidan. I have Sonic and Amy, because I took a picture for Sonic CD. And like the other one is the Japanese Guardian Legend art.
I keep meaning to go back and check out Miitomo because everybody's telling me how it's different now, but I've been too lazy.
It really is a lot different.
All right. Loki, how was your game of the week?
I played this week more Skyrim on PlayStation 4. So I'm like level 160 now, but I haven't really done anything. I'm just leveling because I can. Then I did try out a little bit of Final Fantasy 15. I did not play very far into it because I'm not very interested in it. And you know what? That is their fault, to be honest, because you're supposed to hook me from the get-go. I was hooked with the other games like Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy VII. You know what those had in common? Fucking kick-ass beginnings. Whereas it actually felt like there was some sort of, you know, something on the line, you know, some sort of motivation for your character other than, yeah, let's go drive. We're going to go drive to get married.
I want to play it to cook stuff.
Yeah, but you don't really cook anything, though. You just say, okay, hey, you make this based off of, like...
But the pictures are so real. Like, of the food. The food looks
yeah,
so
like,
real.
Yeah, that's what my son said. He's like, oh, man, that looks good. I want to eat that. Like the egg, like, jiggles and stuff. You know? Yeah.
I've actually decided that I want to make that braised beef stew because I've never considered caramelizing the onions first.
I bet there could be a market at, like, conventions for, like, cooking dishes from Final Fantasy 15, but you better bring lots of cup of noodle. Just saying. Bring lots and lots of cup of noodle.
That's pretty much just, like, they have channels for that. I know there is, like, a channel with, not Freddie Wong, but his brother. They do like game based stuff and cartoon stuff. Anyways, so I played that, and then other than that, I played Excite Truck. I actually worked on my Unity project thing, and it's weird. Like I was working, like my wife wants me to make like an Excite Truck type game. So the first thing I did was make the terrain deformation scripts and stuff, and so it works. Part of the way, like normally in the game when you hit an icon or something, it makes like a hill appear, and then after a while it goes away. And so I have it and the hill appears and then it doesn't go away, which is weird because I literally copied the script and then just reversed the order that it goes in, and it should work just fine. But Unity's being special and just saying no. We're not gonna tell you what's wrong, but there's something wrong. Fantastic. I get to dive into that and figure out what the hell's wrong with that. So I worked on that. And then Ingress a little bit. I haven't been playing too much, though, but, you know, a little bit of that. I think that's it. And just buying games from the sale, you know, with new VR games, even though I'm probably not going to end up playing them.
All right, if that's it for your gaming week. My gaming week, honestly, 100% Final Fantasy 15. Like I haven't even been playing Final Fantasy 14. Which is so funny to talk about those games back to back because they're so different to me. But anyway, regardless, yeah, I've been playing Final Fantasy 15. I've just been progressing in the story. I really wanted to beat it. I was gonna try to beat it before tonight's show, but I just with the performance last night and everything, I just didn't have enough hours in the week to do it for me doing that. I know some people have already powered their way through the game. They powered their way through the game in like 4 days. I can't do the same thing just because I have other priorities I have to juggle. But I would say I think I'm 26 hours in at this point. I mean, and for me, for one game, you guys, that's pretty good. Like, again, you know, I know I had Alan vouch for this last week, but it does look like I'm going to beat this game. Or I'll be that person that gets all the way to the final boss and then says, fuck this game, and then quits. So one of the two is bound to happen with Final Fantasy 15. But I got to say, I know we got into it a little bit last week when we had Shane call in and all that stuff. But and I don't want to repeat myself too much, but it is kind of funny because, you know, Shane and I have been kind of continuing our discussions. He's actually been watching me play. I haven't been streaming on Twitch, but I've been doing share play, like private streaming. So he's been watching me play some of the game, which is, for somebody that hates the game so much, he sure has watched me replay a lot of it, but I guess he really wants to, like, he wants to know what I like about it or wants to see if his opinion changes on it or whatever. I know there is a particular chapter he did really like, and he wanted to watch me play that chapter, but I'm again, obviously keeping this spoiler free, because I know a lot of people have not progressed 26 hours like I have, or even 10 hours like Loki. I got to say, like, I think Shane and I's opinions on this game are going to stay polar opposites. Like, I am really enjoying the game. I am up to chapter 13. I got to today. So for everybody who has beaten the game, I'll speak in vague terms. I got to chapter 13, and my understanding is this is the chapter where the game shits the bed for a lot of people. And just reading what I'm reading on Twitter. But I, again, trying to keep this very vague, I can see why it's very annoying, this particular chapter. But it's not a deal breaker for me yet. I think for me, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, if you watch an entire series of, let's say, I don't know, Doctor Who, and there's one bad episode, you don't necessarily hate the whole show. You go, okay, it was still a pretty good show. Just, you know, there was a bad episode or two. Because honestly, I've really enjoyed all the chapters leading up to this. Like, there's, I still am feeling the problem of this doesn't feel like a Final Fantasy game to me at all. But I'm at the point where I would say this game does feel more Final Fantasy than the movie. Remember Final Fantasy The Spirits Within? Remember that? I would say Final Fantasy 15 is more of a Final Fantasy product than that. I'm willing to move it up to that.
That's not much.
Exactly. I'm willing to move it up to that rank at least, but it's still it does start, the story does start to go places that at least involve creatures that you would know from Final Fantasy games and stuff. So there's at least some of that, but again, I'm just really put off by the whole fact that, like, nobody can fucking cast cure. Nobody casts cure. Like, you can use potions and shit like you do in other Final Fantasy games, and there is a cure type ability, something else that kind of does what cure does, but it's so off-putting to me, and I can't explain it. Like, the fact that you would expect that there's a white mage and a thief and a black, and like that whole system is gone, and it's that part is still a little weird to me. But again, and like I said last week, I'm still okay with it because at the end of the day, I actually am enjoying the game. I just kind of say, okay, Rob, just approach this like it is Final Fantasy 13 versus and stop thinking that it's Final Fantasy 15 and just enjoy the game for what it is and not what it needs to be. And once I kind of like let that go, I'm like, yeah, I actually kind of enjoy this game quite a bit. And I kind of like the battle system. The battle system's like, and I don't play wait mode either. I do the whole live thing. I love the whole like warping in, warping out, creating chains with people, getting other party members to use their abilities so I can piggyback off of them, trying to get behind the enemy. Like, I'm actually really enjoying that side of it. It's just not Final Fantasy battles, but it's fun. So, but that's it. Otherwise, I'm still enjoying the game. I feel like my opinion of this once I'm done is going to be favorable. Again, if the ending completely shits itself, like a lot of people are leading me to believe, maybe it'll knock down a peg or two. But I can say I've thoroughly enjoyed the experience of getting to where I am in the game right now. And I thought some of the cutscenes were amazing, and some of the graphics and things you see. All I'm going to say is that, you know, everybody knows that Final Fantasy 15, one of its large things is that there's a big open world thing, right? But as the story progresses, you start to, you know, go somewhere else, and the events that kind of lead to that are pretty awesome. But it does start to get a little tunnel-y, and that was the thing that everybody complained about with Final Fantasy 13. See, I kind of don't mind that because everything is still varied and different, and I don't know. But I like it. So that's me. Let's see. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I'm not a fan of the spell system in Final Fantasy 15. My inner VV isn't happy. Yes, totally agree. Like, I think that's what kind of ruins the Final Fantasy vibe for me, is that the spell system is, it doesn't connect like the other Final Fantasy games. It's just weird. Dungeon Buster also continues and says, the battle system can be a lot of fun, especially when Link attacks kick in with massive crit bonuses, but Final Fantasy 15 feels really rough to me. Not the best Final Fantasy I've played so far. You know what? The game crashed on me today in Chapter 11. There's a pretty graphics-intensive sequence in Chapter 11, and the game crashed on me during that sequence, and I was like, fucking gaming in 2016. Like, what the like, this is some bosses missing on level 30 shit. Luckily, the game auto saves, so I only lost maybe 5 minutes of gaming time, and I went and I just played through that point again, and I got through it fine. But that was a little irritating, to say the least. I do think, though, that as much as I'm enjoying this game, if I do have to compare it to the other Final Fantasy games, which is still a weird thing for me to do, it's not going to be my favorite either. Not, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to top Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy IV.
Exactly.
Final Fantasy XIV's expansion.
Six is what I'm talking about, like the mix of like the technology and the magic and stuff. That was, I think, was a perfect balance. And even hell, even that battle system, I don't see anything wrong with that battle system at all. And like, just modernize everything. Make it, you know, more modern looking, make it 3D, you know, make, but keep it like that. That, what's wrong with that? That's perfectly fine.
But I would say it's better than 8. Bring on the hate mail. Bring it on. It's better than 8.
8 was fine until the third disc. It was nothing but repetitive bullshit.
And if you don't want to argue about play, because I know Final Fantasy VIII is a polarizing one for people, it's better than Final Fantasy II, NES Final Fantasy II, which I think is one of the worst Final Fantasy games in the franchise. Like, out of all the games, I think Final Fantasy II is one of the worst.
What, the NES one?
The NES 2.
Okay.
Yeah, no, God, no. No, Super Nintendo 2 or 4, which I would call 4, is one of the...
3 was great.
Is one of the top. Yeah, 3 is where a lot of the future games kind of draw its inspiration, really.
3 gave us the job system.
Yeah. But I made a list some time ago about where I'd rank them all, and I think 8 was in last... No, well, 14 1.0 was in last place, then 8, then 2, and then I think 1... Which I don't dislike Final Fantasy 1, but 15 is probably somewhere like in that like mid lower tier. Like, I would still put stuff like 10, 14's expansion, 6, 4. I would still put those games above 15. But anyway, let's see. Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya says, still waiting for that 6-2, Square Enix. And JD follows up, oh man, if any game deserves a huge expanded universe, it is 6. Totally agreed. Yeah, but see, 4 got that, and it was extremely mediocre. The After Years, remember that? It was on the WiiWare. It was cool to play something new that was like totally in Final Fantasy IV's engine, but at the same time, the game itself is extremely mediocre. So I don't know if I would want them to do that to 6. Dungeon Buster points out the 12 Zodiac remake is coming up too. I can't wait. I'm really excited for 12 Zodiac remake.
Oh, we'll get 6 remake someday.
Technically, we did, because the phone games are a remake, because they went back and redid all the art, but it's
they do 6 in the phone games?
Yep. They did 6 and they redid all the art and all that, and it's not good. It's just not good. So 6 needs a proper remake.
See, I like the phone games when they just up, you know, like they did the 2. Or was it two? No, Final Fantasy 1. They redid that, remember that? And it was just kind of like 16-bit looking graphics or something like that. That was cool.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says, no love for Final Fantasy 5, which is still my favorite Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy 5 is an interesting one, because 5, I think the story in 5 is just really, I think it's one of the weakest stories in the entire franchise. I'm sorry. I know people love the characters, and I know Ferris is cool and all that. I just think 5 is like one of the weakest stories in the entire franchise. But the battle system and the job system is an insane amount of fun. And it's one of the better like battle systems in the entire franchise. So it walks this weird line between it's a lot of fun to play, but the story's just really not interesting. Especially compared to the game that followed it and the game that was before it. Like, it just falls in this really weird place for me. But anyway... All right, but that's my personal opinion, and you know what? Obviously, opinions, we all got them, and 15 is apparently going to be no different. 15 is the new 8. It's just what it is, apparently. All right, we got to move on with some other gaming news, though. First off, I want to do some quick housekeeping and announcements. So here's the deal. We are on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. You can also follow us on Google Plus, google.com/plusorangelaunchradio. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/orangelaunchradio. Holidays. You guys have been wondering what's going to happen during the holiday. So on Christmas Day, December 25th, we will be here. Dark Soccer and I will be holding down the fort with a special Christmas edition of Orange Lounge Radio. I don't know. What will
It'll
we do?
It'll be a first day of Hanukkah Orange Lounge Radio. No, a second day of Hanukkah Orange Lounge Radio.
Whose nuts will you roast on an open fire?
I'll bring my menorah.
Okay.
We can light the menorah.
Nut roasting.
She will roast nuts with a menorah. Yes. Oh, will you make latkes?
I suppose I can make latkes.
There we go.
But I thought that we normally do like.
We do. We do. We just have to do
just
like
get takeout.
Asian. Yeah, we'll get takeout. If we can find what's open. We like to get Chinese
Panda.
Food. We like to. Was Panda going to be open on Christmas?
I don't know. We got pho 1 year.
I know. Figure that out. It'll be like a Christmas story.
And then we went to Denny's 1 year.
Bleh. That was a mistake.
You had those red velvet pancake puffs.
It was like red food coloring. And
those were terrible bad.
Pancake puffs. Anyway, blood. We will be here on December 25th. We will have a show on January 1st, but it may be recorded in advance. But there will be something that week. It may just not be live. We're still working the details out on that. We will not be here at all January 8th, which I know is weird, and that's going to be the first week back for a lot of your favorite podcasts who are taking the holidays off. However, MAGFest is that weekend, and so I will be coming back from Washington, D.C. at the time that OLR would normally be on. So we won't be here January 8th. So we do the holidays late around here, all right? So you'll just have to deal with a delayed schedule there. But we will be here on Christmas night. And the good news is that even if you have other things to do, well, that's why this is a podcast, and you can download it whenever you want, and you can subscribe wherever you find podcasts, whether that be iTunes Store, whether that be Google Play Store, whether that be TuneIn or another third-party app, you can catch up on OLR whenever you want through the podcast feed. And I know a lot of you do listen on the podcast feed, so hello, and thanks for being here. Send us an email sometime. Let's see. In our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf reminding us that he will be here too. So we're going to have a very full night on it's a Vogue holiday present on December 25th. So, and SSJ100 Matt says, hopefully the weather is good for MAGFest. Yeah, that is the thing I fear the most, honestly, is the fucking weather when I go out to DC. And I just, look, my California ass can't handle a blizzard, so just please do whatever, cross your fingers and whatever deities you believe in, just make it a smooth trip for me, please. All right, let's get into some gaming news, however. I was expecting this to be a completely dead week for news. However, there's still a lot going on this week, right, Loki?
Yeah. So there's apparently a new law that has just passed in China that'll be going to effect May 1st. And what that's going to do is actually govern loot boxes or those random crate drops that you get in some games, which they're classifying them as like almost a form of gambling. So publishers will be required to give players information about them, including the draw, quantity, content, names, and properties. Also, the percentage chance that you have of actually getting the blind box item. So basically the, you know, percentage to win or something like that. I think that's a good thing. And yeah, they are basically gambling. I mean, the whole CSGO stuff is for this shit. So, I mean, that was actually a little bit different. But still, though, I mean, I don't like this trend of paying for a full game, you know, like Overwatch, and then having this shit on top of it.
Yeah, I have to admit, I also kind of like the idea about companies having to be transparent about what the odds really are for some of the items. And, you know, I have done loot boxes. I've done them in games like Mass Effect, which was the first one, Mass Effect 3 specifically, which is the first game that I remember doing this that had loot boxes. But obviously Overwatch has this as well. You know, and I get that it's all cosmetic. Everything that comes out of these things is cosmetic and nothing really impacts the game itself. But I do. In Mass Effect 3, you can't really say the same thing because you had the guns and you had the other characters that were locked in there.
And it always starts off as cosmetic, and there's a lot of things like Call of Duty used to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually that's not enough, and but then it goes beyond that.
But in Mass Effect 3, you could earn the in-game currency pretty fast to get the loot boxes yourself. So I just kind of looked at it as an experience thing. I never bought a loot box in Mass Effect 3, never did. And I still got all the characters I wanted and everything I needed. So, you know, if the system is going to only be in-game currency, then fine. I don't think they need to be
transparent. Who cares about that?
Yeah, who cares? Then they can keep the loot to themselves if they want. But I have to admit, maybe you guys can help me out in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, but I don't see the bad thing about companies having to be transparent with what is the percentage that I will get, you know, Sombra's taunt that I really want, or D.Va's thing where she plays the video games and eats Cheetos emote. What is really the percentage chance of that? And where's the accountability on the company, because they are taking money, where's the accountability on them to ensure that things are actually dropping at that rate and that they're not making it up? Now, the one drawback I could see is that maybe the government doesn't need to oversee that. And I can totally see that perspective as well, is that maybe we don't need that oversight. But I do, I can kind of see the perspective that this is getting into gambling a little bit. And maybe the, maybe not necessarily the same way we oversee slot machines in Reno and Vegas, but maybe a similar arm of that does need to take some of this into consideration.
It's sort of like a lottery ticket. I mean, you're basically picking for a random outcome. And I honestly don't think that it should be doing the whole loot crate system. I'm fine with that with in-game currency, but like if they have skins and stuff for sale, which I guess they can do that, just offer, okay, here's the skins for this character, here's the price point for it, and then allow them to choose, you know, that way instead of, oh man, I really want that taunt, let me buy some loot crates. Ah, crap, I got a whole bunch of repeats of shit I already have.
Yeah.
Which are completely fucking useless, or I can sell it back for, like, some low amount of
currency. Well, yeah,
and
you do have, you do get, like, the gold or whatever, and then the gold, ultimately, you can buy whatever you want. So it's like, if you are trying to save up for that particular taunt and you just keep not getting it, eventually you're going to get enough gold where you can buy it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm also kind of with Brad from Pod Culture in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, who says that's the one flip and drawback of Overwatch that annoys me. Overwatch takes a long time to get the loot boxes for free. It really does. Like, not in the beginning, not in the first few levels, but later on, yeah. Like, it, maybe it's just because I also kind of more casually play Overwatch. I don't play a ton of it. I think the people that play a ton of it probably don't have a problem getting what they want in game, but God, I just, yeah, I'm not. I don't feel like you get enough loot boxes really in the game. So, but what's interesting is that now that this is going to be a law in China, what, next year's the implementation or whatever?
Yeah, May
next year. So if Blizzard wants to have Overwatch in China, they're going to have to publish these numbers. And do you think the US won't find them? So those numbers are going to be out there. Now, granted, they could change it up. China could have different drop rates from the US, but I think Blizzard would have to be a little more transparent with that. And I keep picking on Blizzard. That's just because that's the game I play right now that does this, is Overwatch. But there's a lot of games that do this.
There's some that are like even worse, like especially when you get into the mobile space.
Yeah,
like,
the where mobile it's just space, like, yeah.
You can buy $25 worth of in-game currency, and you unlock absolutely jack shit with that. It's like ridiculous. Like, I watched, there was an Angry Joe video that they had where he was playing a DC type of game. It was some DC like beat 'em up game, and there was, to unlock the characters, you had to get, you know, these cards and stuff, and it took like 25 cards per character to actually unlock them. So he bought $25 worth of in-game currency and bought the chests with that, and he got literally no characters unlocked with all that shit. Like, it would have taken more, like, $50 at least to unlock something, which is fucking stupid. But that's mobile for you. I mean, it's just a mess. But that's kind of where it can go. And unfortunately, console games, whereas they have a upfront price point to them, it's starting to head in that direction.
Yeah. Kaijudo in chat says, how is this Overwatch and Rocket League not free-to-play games when they have this loot system? You know, it's not that I always agree with it, but just to present the other perspective, with Overwatch, you don't need any of it. You can be a world-class Overwatch champion. You can be the best Overwatch player in the world with none of the loot stuff. All of it is just taunts, art, cosmetic stuff that ultimately the actual game itself, it doesn't really have an impact on. And to be honest, most of it is ridiculous, and I think that's why I don't even bother to buy the loot boxes, really. It's because it's like, I don't really need any of it that bad. Like, none of the items I get in there are going to make me any better at Overwatch. I'm already pretty bad, you know? So that's, oh, I guess that's the other side of it, is that it ultimately doesn't impact the game. Also, Overwatch is starting to come down in price. Like, you know, Black Friday was like $35 for Overwatch, and I think Overwatch is not really going to be a $60 game much longer. And I'm kind of curious what the long-term game looks like for Overwatch, because it hasn't even been out a year. So what's going to happen next for Overwatch? How are they going to keep that money coming in? Are they going to rely completely on the loot boxes thing, or is there going to be something else in the future?
I don't know.
Let's see. Let's move on. I want to talk about some other news because we have plenty of stuff to talk about as well. I think we already pretty much talked about this in the intro, but just to bring it up officially here, the Nintendo Switch was officially unveiled this week. Beyond just the trailer, it was actually brought to the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. I almost said Jimmy Kimmel. I always get their names mixed up, even though I know they're different people. But it went to the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and they were doing a Super Mario Run preview, but Reggie Fils-Aimé did the whole, oh, but I have one more thing because you're such a big fan. And right there under a question mark block, there it was, an actual Nintendo Switch. And Jimmy Fallon did the dorky little Jimmy Fallon thing where he pretended to fanboy over it and all this other stuff, which I don't doubt that he is legit a Nintendo fan, but the whole thing did feel very calculated and scripted. Like, you know, he knew what was under that question mark block,
well,
which is
he
fine.
Kind
which
of is fine. Honestly, that's kind of his like excited look.
Yeah.
He kind of reacts that way a lot of the times, like kind of overreacts, I guess.
Yeah, he does. He does. But that's, you know, that's part of being a business person, which late night talk shows are a business. But anyway, that's fine. I'm not really shading him too bad because, you know, at least we got to see the Switch on TV and a lot of people doing heavy analysis of freeze frames of this device. Did you catch that whole thing about there's a European trademark symbol on the back? So either the device was a European device or this is confirmation that the thing is region free. Like, people are like going all out on their analysis of this thing. So, but the good news is we're only a few weeks away from the official Nintendo unveil. Where supposedly we get all the details.
I'm just going to reiterate what I said last week about Breath of the Wild. The more I see of it, the less interested in it I am. Here's why. And it's because that first time that they're showing it off at E3 is like, wow, this is so amazing. And they keep showing the same shit over and over. It's like, okay, I get it. There's nothing new that they're showing me that's really wowing me.
I hate to say it, guys, but I kind of agree with Loki on this one because in the beginning, I really was feeling like, oh, this Breath of the Wild is going to be completely new and different and influenced by these other games. And then to see it in motion, you're like, oh, okay.
It's like I've almost seen like all of the entire game already.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, this I know this formula. But I...
Not to say it's going to be a terrible game.
Yeah, Zelda games, it's a good formula. Maybe they don't need to rock the boat too much. So I don't know. I'll still buy it. I'll play it. Of course I will. But anyway, So you got to see the Switch. And they did the whole thing where they actually popped the device out. And he had it, you know, so they actually kind of showed that in motion. And you could see that the time to transition between the two devices, it wasn't instant. Because Reggie Fils-Aimé did buy a little time when he pulled it out. He kind of pulled it out and he kind of talked for a minute and then handed it to Jimmy. So there is definitely like a 20-second transition.
I still don't think that they actually have that working yet on that demo. I think there was two separate feeds. They had one.
Really?
I don't think it's the same thing because I don't know. It just didn't seem like that was the case.
Hmm.
I think they had two separate things of the game running or something. But we get the idea, though, at least.
Well, and then in the rumors and potentials department, there's a rumor that was going around this week that From Software has Dark Souls 3 running on the Switch. Not to say that they're going to sell Dark Souls 3 on the Switch, but that it is, like, From Software has that going on there. And apparently, From Software is currently mulling over, do we release the entire Dark Souls trilogy on the Nintendo Switch, including the DLC, as some type of trilogy collection, which I imagine...
Dark Souls Trilogy Praise the Sun Edition. There you go.
Something like that. But, you know, I could see that something like that they could release on the Switch at the same time as they do on the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, the PC, and all that stuff. So I guess that's cool, but I have to admit, my gut reaction, those of you that follow me on Twitter, at Sky, S-K-I-E, no, my gut reaction to this was... Don't go down this path, third party, because I'm getting nervous. Because the games that we're seeing are Skyrim, Dark Souls. Oh, granted, we haven't seen Dark Souls 3, but still, this is where my mind is going. I can't help it when I see these rumors. It's last generation shit on the Switch. Stop it. That's how third parties fucked up the Wii U launch. Don't do it. It's gotta be new stuff. Or at least, if nothing else, stuff you release on the Switch at the same time you release on the other consoles, so at least everybody has a fighting chance. But if you released last year's shit on the Switch, it's going to be shot in the foot from the beginning. Please don't do this, third parties. Don't do this.
I don't know, I'd still buy Skyrim on the Switch.
All right, well.
It's an older game, but I'm getting a lot of use out of it. And I own... God, several versions of the game. I mean, so it's just, I don't know. For example, I played more Skyrim.
This is so weird to me that the few things you're going to throw a bone at Nintendo for and give them credit for are like the one things where I'm like, no.
No, hold on. Now, I'm in agreement with you. Like, that's kind of what botched the whole launch lineup with the Wii U. Because they're like, oh, Batman Arkham Asylum or Arkham City or whatever it was. And it's like, well, that game came out last year. That is like a launch title. I don't have a problem with them throwing Dark Souls on there, but you know, as long as that's not the only thing that they're launching with, you know, is old stuff. Let's see some new stuff as well. And yeah, you can always go ahead and throw out those trilogies and stuff later on to port those older games over, but just don't heavily rely on that.
Okay, and ActDeft in chat continues on to say, but at the same time, Dark Souls on the go, I don't think that's bad. I understand that, and I understand this whole enthusiasm about Skyrim being on the go and everything as well, but I don't know. Maybe this is because I don't commute on a subway, or I don't sit down with nothing else to do for long periods of time during the day, so maybe my perspective is just a little different. But I just think Dark Souls would be fucking horrible to play on a portable device, because a game like that is so hard and so challenging, it kind of commands a lot of precision and a lot of attention that I'm not sure I can get on a portable device. Is that weird?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
I kind of feel like, especially like if you're in a subway that's bouncing all around and moving all around.
Yeah, it's like a subway train would be a little bit difficult.
Or even a plane. I do most, like a lot of portable gaming when I'm on the plane. But like I'll play like Dragon Quest VII. That's okay if that bounces around a little bit or I have a hard time hearing something because of the plane engine or something. Like, I just don't think Dark Souls would, I mean... I know the concept sounds awesome. Like, yes, PlayStation 3 and 4 games that I can take with me on the go. That concept sounds awesome. But then, like, in execution, like, I just think those games would really not be fun on portable. Yeah,
what's that battery life? We need to know.
I don't know. But that is just my opinion. If enough of you disagree with me, then go buy and support the game and prove me wrong. And then,
I mean, you can go and pre-order that shit, but good luck getting it.
Yeah. And JD points out, yeah, if you have 2 hours a day to kill on a train, it definitely changes your perspective. And I can respect that. But again, I just feel like Dark Souls would not be the game to play. Pokemon would be great. Is great. That's why those games do so well, you know? But there's not every game works the same portable as it does on the TV. I don't know. All right. Well, we'll see. Again, those are just rumors with Dark Souls 3, so we'll see what happens January 12th. It's going to be a big day. Moving on, Dark Sakura.
Well, we have some news, as I alluded to earlier, about Ubisoft. Oh, when will people learn about insider trading? So they have been fined, or will be fined, by the AMF, which is, I'm going to mispronounce this, Autorité de Marché Financier. Basically, the Finance Commission in France. For being accused of insider trading, where they offloaded some of their shares of Ubisoft before the publisher announced the delays that made their stock drop by 25%. However, they have since sent direct messages to certain publishers saying that while they acknowledge the AMF's decision, they still assert that they acted in good faith and have appealed the decision. So they're hoping that it gets overturned, but it's pretty, at the very least, quite a coincidence that they would sell their shares just prior to this happening. And I believe that it's 5 different executives that are being held accountable for this. So there you go. Don't cheat.
Yeah, that's it's a tough one for them to prove, because, you know, executives, wouldn't you think they're going to know when a game's going to be delayed? That's not something you wake up in the morning, roll out of bed, and go, I think a game's going to get delayed today.
Well, depending on how quickly they sold their stock before that happened, it would have had to have been that they sold their stock very quickly before that delay happened and would have anticipated that the delay would also cause the stock to drop that drastically. Because a 25% drop in value is pretty big. So, just saying.
Let's see. Dungeon Buster in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, instead of insider trading, maybe they should figure out how to allocate funds to properly test their PC releases.
Gonna need some salve for that burn.
Maybe they knew how it was running. I don't know.
I think they had to have done something. But then again, I will point out that
because this all dates back to stuff in 2013, right? This isn't like insider trading alleged that happened like yesterday. No. This is something that happened years ago that's been investigated, and now they've been fined. Alleging guilt from this organization is giving. What would you say? Basically saying that they're guilty.
The Ubisoft Montreal CEO was fined 700,000 euros. And everyone else between... Well, the smallest was 15,000 euros. And then we had 100 and then 200. So a total approximately in American money, about $1.28 million. So it's quite a bit of money spread across five people. I mean, even for the one who had to pay the least, that's roughly, I'd give it approximately an average year's salary, you know, on the low end, middle class wage. So, of course, you know, if they're executives, they probably can afford it easy. But, you know, I do tend to see a trend that, like, the higher up that you get on the corporate ladder, the less touch you have with the way people are working. And so if a delay was impending, they might not have found out about it until, you know, the memo made it to them. So take that as you will.
Loki, you have somewhat of a follow-up to this, right?
Yeah, sort this of. Is in regards to Ubisoft as well. As you may remember, Vivendi is purchasing, you know, shares of the company. So right now, with their last acquisition, they own 25.15% of the company and almost 23% of its voting rights. Apparently, though, they are saying that it's, you know, Vivendi's been discussing their objectives for the next 6 months, saying they're not considering to acquire, they are considering to continue to acquire shares depending on the market conditions. But not considering the launch of a public tender on Ubisoft nor acquiring the control of the company. However, though, it says you know, recommission of the Ubisoft board directors in order to, and among other things, obtain the board representation consistent with its shareholder position, that they're going to be seeking that. However, though, according to French law, though, they will need to submit a bid for an actual takeover bid if they reach 30% of ownership in the company. But, I don't know. We'll see.
Yes, it looks like Vivendi wants to own a video game company very badly again.
It says they don't, though, so I don't know. Maybe they just want
money. Actions speak louder than words.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know.
Well, and then this whole thing seems like quite... The Jamie just talked about seems quite the setback. Like, it just primes them and ready for something like this, you know?
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. All right. Moving on, let's talk about Capcom, which, you know, has been in the news recently with at the PlayStation Experience. You know, they had the whole unveil of a new Marvel versus Capcom game, which, by the way, Dark Soccer, I gotta, because I know you are a big fan of fighting games and Capcom games and all that. What'd you think of the Marvel versus Capcom Infinite reveal?
I'm still reserving judgment.
That's fair. Obviously, don't want to just base the whole thing off four characters. But did it get you hyped? Because I'd written off that we'd ever get another one, to be honest.
I had some Doki Doki moments.
All right, fair enough.
Well, we have six characters, remember?
Oh, right. I forgot about the two that came later. I'm thinking about the four in the trailer. Anyway, And remember, it's Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and there's going to be infinite DLC Loki, so we're going to have an infinite number of characters.
Yep.
If they run out, they'll just come up with new ones. All right, anyway. But Capcom has also talked about in a press release that they're looking to revive some franchises that have been forgotten. Let's see. As part of the press release, it said, quote, in addition to regular major title releases each fiscal year, Capcom is currently focused on reviving series that have not had new entries recently or otherwise dormant IP. Beginning with Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, a return for the series following a five-year hiatus. Capcom looks to enhance its corporate value even further by utilizing its library of rich contents, which, I don't know, I think most of us would look at this and go, how about fucking Mega Man?
Right? It's like, would you like to enrich your, you know, company more? Freaking give back, give the people what they want.
How about fucking Mega Man? I don't care if it's Mega Man Legends. I'll take a fucking Mega Man X game at this point.
Yeah, I don't want to take these proposed redesign of Mega Man that was supposed to be, you know, that like Bomberman Act Zero type Mega Man game. Yeah, I don't want that one, but I'll take the other ones.
Just yeah,
and don't make it suck, because my god, if the creator of Mega Man, like, I watched a documentary on that, like they had, like, they have fan documentary thing about the whole like Mighty Number 9 bullshit.
Oh, did they? Oh, I got.
Oh yeah, you got to check it out. It's pretty awesome.
Is that on Steam or is that?
It's on YouTube. It's like a 45-minute long thing that they talk about like all this, what happened with all the like. Just the whole drama from beginning to end.
Interesting.
And it's just, it's interesting. It's like, how could they have fucked that up so bad? But seriously, how could they have fucked that up so bad? And just make a good game if you're going to do that.
Brad from Pod Culture in chat suggests Mega Man Run.
No.
I'll take it. I will take it at this point. What about, I'm sure Dark Soccer's got to be sitting there going, rival schools?
Right? Oh my god, I would love, or at least I would like some of the rival schools characters to show up in at least some of the other ones, you know.
I'm trying to, what dormant Capcom, I mean, I it was suggested to
Ghouls
us behind
and Ghosts?
The, it was suggested to us behind the scenes that this would make a great listless segment, but I don't know. You need like 18 different options for a list. I'm not sure I could come up
with
that.
I'll take another Bionic Commando.
Like, we'll just forget the last one happened?
Rearmed was fine.
Yeah, that's true. Rearmed was fine.
The 3D one was kind of stupid, but, you know, it had potential. Like, on paper and, like, in the trailers.
Yeah.
It like, wow, this is going to be fucking amazing. But, like, then it just it didn't quite come together. But I'd be willing to have them try again.
I'll take UN Squadron. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'll take a new UN Squadron game.
Captain Commando.
Yeah. Hell yes. Or if we want to get more obscure, we can do like Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. You know, just all the beat 'em up. How about a Final Fight?
Bring back Three Wonders.
Power Stone.
Fucking Power Stone. Hell yes.
Powerful. I wouldn't mind, though, a follow-up to Three Wonders.
Dark Tetsuya says UN Squadron was a licensed game based off the anime or manga Area 88. Oh. See, 12-year-old me didn't understand all that. I just rented a game called UN Squadron once and thought it was badass. So I guess I don't get that. And Message Joe and Hunter Matt says Power Stone discussion over. No, because Mega Man is first. I'm sorry. Yes, Mega Man needs to come before Power Stone. This is long overdue. ActDev says Gotcha Force. Shut up. Dungeon Buster says new Magic Sword. Ooh, fuck. Maybe we could come up with 18 games because we need to talk about Magic Sword. And how fucking underrated that game is. Oh, God, that was such a good series. Series of one game. Let's see. ActDef wants to point out, Dark Sakura, there's rumors of a Rival Schools character appearing in Street Fighter V Season 2.
That's a character.
That's one lousy character.
What about bringing Darkstalkers back? Didn't they do a Darkstalkers 3?
They were teasing at one point the Darkstalkers was supposed
to come
back.
Well, there was a Darkstalkers 3. It was Vampire Savior.
Yeah.
No, I meant beyond that.
There was going to be four. They were like teasing a four, but I don't know if they actually said it got canceled, but something caused Darkstalkers 4 to get pushed back. I think it was the sales of Darkstalkers 1 and 2 on 360. I think there was something. I remember we talked about it a long time ago, but it was something about that the 360 reinventions of Darkstalkers, the first game, did not do well, and that kind of shot plans for another Darkstalkers game in the foot. But anyway. All right, we could talk about this Capcom reviving thing all night long, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if they actually do it or not. Dark Soccer, in the meantime.
Well, do we remember Majesco?
Yes.
Do you remember vaguely what they've more recently been known for was Gone Home, which is pretty good.
Did they publish
and
that?
And they did, yeah.
I think they published, like,
the console
version of it. Like
the console versions.
Yeah, not the PC
and,
original.
And A Boy and His Blob. Well, they have been acquired, actually. They're not really disappearing, but they're being merged into Polarity TE, which is a biotech company. They do regenerative tissue tech.
Kind of a weird...
So
that's a very weird.
In fact, Polarity will be a wholly owned subsidiary of Majesco, but Majesco is dropping its name and operating under Polarity, and they are bowing out of the entertainment business. So, and we know that Majesco's had some definite financial problems. The last founder of the company left in 2015, and their new leader. Was more of a gold mining and energy person before going into games. So they've pretty much dropped all of the entertainment, except for like one recent tweet about ABC's BattleBots, whatever. But they are going fully into medical tech. Bye.
So do you know what by far the most important... I mean, Majesco's published a lot of games, but do you know which one by far is the most important contribution they've given to gaming?
Whoa.
Cooking Mama.
Yes.
So this effectively means that the Mama series is done. So
no, they're just... You were talking about regenerative tissue. You're right. Mama's now going to fix that.
Mama's going to fix it. Don't worry. Damn it, Loki. I was trying to set up for that joke, and you just jumped in there with a punchline.
To be honest, though, like, I've been saying for years now, even like... God, back when I was at the distribution company I was at, they've been out of the gaming business for a while. I mean, they've been hardly publishing anything throughout the year.
Are you kidding? They published Hello Kitty Party on the DS.
So
Loki,
what?
How dare you? But yeah, I
wonder if they would sell those licenses.
Like Jillian Michaels Fitness Ultimatum 2009 and 2010?
Who gives a crap about that? I'm talking about Cooking Mama. Yeah, maybe they would sell the licenses.
This is a fitness ultimatum. You're either going to be fit or not. I choose not.
Well, if they're going into tissue regeneration, then that means that, you know, just hack off a few, you know, ounces of body fat, and then they'll just heal the skin. That's it.
SSG100 Matt says, Mama's going into the home. Someone will be fixing Mama breakfast now. That's sad. Dungeon Buster in chat says, wow, I guess Majesco never really recovered after Advent Rising. Remember Advent Rising?
Yes, that was, what, 2007?
It was a while ago. Wasn't that the whole $1 million Xbox game? That was that whole thing,
right? That
was a
pretty big Xbox game, yeah, I remember that.
That whole, they were going to give away $1 million to whoever, I don't know, beat it or found some secret or something. Am I mixing that up with something else? I swear
it
that was Advent Rising.
That one, I don't remember.
All right,
It made such an impression on me.
All right, moving on, Loki. Maybe talk about some games that did make an impression on you.
Well, this is kind of funny. Sony's talking about their mobile plans now with what their canceled mobile, you know, gaming device and their canceled Sony mobile. What was Sony PlayStation Mobile? Yeah. So now they're talking mobile again because now everybody's getting into it. Everybody's citing Pokemon Go. My fucking God. Can we seriously stop using Pokemon Go as, like, the indicator that you should get in this marketplace? Because
everybody fucking wants a piece of it.
Do we not remember fucking Angry Birds? Do we not remember Angry Birds where that was insanely successful and fucking everybody's like, oh, I'm going to get in that market because they made it. So they were so successful. And how many people have actually succeeded?
Well, the guy Hardly who did any. Flappy Bird did pretty well for himself.
Yeah, and that was a fucking fluke. That was a fucking fluke.
Talk about a game that got ripped off.
I mean, Sony should be familiar with Angry Birds because they made the movie, or published the movie, so I guess. But now they're going to be getting back into mobile with some of their first-party titles that were on PlayStation platforms. So, for example, Hot Shots Golf is going to be one of the first games that's going to be coming out on iOS and Android. They also have a game called No Heroes Allowed Dash. Ark the Lad and Wild Arms are going to be rebooted on those platforms as well. Also, Parappa the Rapper, Disgaea, and some other untitled games. They've got a collaboration with Square Enix. They have an original IP from Forward Works called Sora to Imi no Aida, and some collectible card game called Project Field.
That would be, if it's T-O, that would be Toe.
Man, if only Sony had their own portable platform they could release these types of things on.
I know. I mean, really. It's really...
Gosh, it's just a shame nothing like that exists.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, it just doesn't exist.
But to be fair, though, as much as I can sass that point, Nintendo has a 3DS, yet they're still putting Mario Run out, so, you know.
Oh, my God.
What?
No, I'm just looking at this picture of... this thing that they have, you know, that card game that I was talking about, getting the, you know, I Have Judgment vibe from this.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it reminded you of your own card game. I was going to be a little worried for you there.
Oh, no. Fuck no, I'm not making a card game. No, it's giving me an I Have Judgment vibe from this thing.
All right, well, moving on to another story about Final Fantasy 15. You know, now some of the reception is out there. A lot of people played the game. And Square Enix talking about some of the changes that they're going to make with Final Fantasy 15. Hajime Tabata actually made a blog post this week on the Square Enix site talking about fan feedback to the game and what's going to happen to make the title better. And in the post, Tabata says, "Our early plans are to enrich certain aspects of the game, adding gameplay enhancements for Chapter 13, buffing ring magic, etc. We'll have the specifics of what and when for you at a later date." So, again, I'm actually playing Chapter 13 right now, and it is, I'm really, really, really trying not to spoil, but just, like, some things that you're used to as the game change, and it seems like it might be, like, a temporary type of thing, and so it's a little bit... It's one of those things that I feel like it's lasting longer than it needs to. That's the whole thing. Sometimes, like, the game gets flipped on its script for a little bit. It's temporary. This feels like it's lasting a little longer than it needs to. Again, but for me, it doesn't ruin chapters 1 through 12. That's, I guess, the difference I'm having than what some other people are having. I don't know. Anyway, they're also saying, "We're hoping to delve deeper into the story, adding scenes that will give you new insight to character motivations, such as why Ravis walked the path he did. We need a little time with these. They'll need to be localized and voiced in other languages. For the long term, we're looking at making certain key characters playable and even considering the possibility of customizable avatars in addition to other features over time. Other features we have in mind is letting you carry over stats from a previous playthrough and adding in items that introduce new playstyles, such as low-level runs and God mode. We're also examining readability tweaks, increasing font size for certain languages. On top of that, we're looking at content you can enjoy in real time, including new bosses with exclusive rewards and achievements and limited time hunts." I don't know how I feel about this. There's a lot about this I'm not liking. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm cool with the fact that they want to add to the game and add this new stuff, but when they talk about changing story elements, now the biggest thing I'm seeing on Twitter is, "Welp, guess I better stop playing Final Fantasy 15, or guess I better not buy Final Fantasy 15 because they're going to go and change the story, and since apparently everybody hates the story, I'm going to wait and go play through this when they fix it." And I'm just sitting here going, okay, I guess I'm like the one guy who isn't understanding the big problem right now. Like, again, I think the game is fine. Like, again, it's not the best Final Fantasy game, but, you know, it's definitely not the worst. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like that comment kind of shot themselves in the foot with that. Like, well, there went the second and third week sales for Final Fantasy 15, because now people are going to wait until there's a story patch to see what all has changed and all this stuff. I mean, as far as the other stuff goes, like font sizes, new bosses with new achievements, limited time hunts, that all sounds fine. That's the type of, you know, continuing support for 15 I would have expected. But this is also just a weird, this is just a weird place. This whole Final Fantasy game in a DLC era. Like, I know, it didn't really happen with 13. 13-2 it did, But because of the way 13.2 was set up, I don't know. It just didn't. It doesn't. It's not as weird to me as something like this is. I'm just. I don't know. Loki, what do you think when you hear this? They want to patch the story. Isn't that weird?
It's Mass Effect 3 all over again.
But Mass Effect 3.
I know. They're clarifying the ending.
Was also. It was the ending. And. I don't know. Again, I kind of feel like although I enjoyed Mass Effect 3's extended cut and I appreciate that it exists, I did not, again, have the same hate boner for the way Mass Effect 3 ended originally that everybody else did. I understood why people took issue with it, but I didn't think it was the worst ending to a video game I'd ever played. And sometimes video games have bad endings. Sometimes movies have bad endings. Sometimes stories have endings you don't like. And it's, you know, again, does that ruin the entire journey of getting there? I don't know. It doesn't always for me. So, I don't know. So, I guess an ending, if an ending is really, really, really bad, then maybe. Like, that didn't that ruin The Village? The M. Night Shyamalan movie for a lot of people?
Was no,
that?
M. Night Shyamalan ruined The Village.
Signs. No, it was Signs. The ending of Signs.
The ending of Signs I thought was fine. It was... stupid, but you know, I chalk that up as like, oh, haha, it's War of the World. I mean, that's, I just thought that it was just kind of a take, sort of like on that, where it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, granted, you can poke, you can poke a million holes through that whole movie, just
The Mist. They changed the ending from the book,
yeah, no, I, yeah, I'm aware,
and it ruined the whole movie,
yeah,
so
but I didn't Stephen King say he actually kind of liked it.
Yes, which is stupid. The whole movie was great until the end, and I can never watch that again.
Yeah, no. Even though it's a 10-year-old movie, I don't necessarily want to ruin it for people, but I understand the controversy behind that whole change for sure. For sure. For those that don't know, it's a real downer ending. Let's just leave it at that. It's a bit of a downer.
Keep in mind, I like The Grudge.
Yeah.
So.
Act Deft in chat says, do we need director's cut of video games now? The end was fine for me, but
I'm
oh well.
I'm fine with them doing like a director's cut thing because they did that with like the other Final Fantasy games or they re-release them later on with the international versions, if you will, where they tweak stuff and add bosses and all that fun stuff. That's cool. I'm fine with that. But like, don't change the story. You can add to the story. If you want to add stuff that adds more clarification to the story, that's cool. But you can't just... change the story.
I also okay, like
that's like saying, oh hey, we patched Final Fantasy VII. Aerith's not dead, just kidding. It was just a flesh wound.
That's oh my god. If Final Fantasy VII had existed in the age of the internet, which the internet's infancy was happening with
hey,
Final Fantasy
VII, we still have the remake coming. There's still time.
Oh anyway. But I just
as long as the bitch still dies.
They bring her back to life. She's alive again. And he kills her again. She's dead again.
Aerith Resurrection DLC. Just
oh my god,
$9.99.
They killed Aerith, you bastards!
Maybe, would that be DLC you would buy Dark Sakura where you could just kill her over and over again? Like, it's just, you know, different ways to see
once
her die.
Is satisfying.
Why was it? Okay, let's...
I want there to be blood this time.
Now that we're, like, now that we're kind of going back here, okay... The fuck is a phoenix down for if you can't fucking resurrect the bitch? I mean, seriously, like, well, this time she's completely dead. But wait a second. All these other times you've died, we've been able to resurrect you just fine. Yeah, but this time.
You're not reading what it says. In Final Fantasy, you get KO'd. You don't die, you get KO'd.
Killed and off. Yes, I got it.
And when you're in part, and when your entire party gets KO'd, that's when you lose the battle.
That's when you get eaten by the monster.
And Phoenix Down removes the KO status. That's what it. That's the technicality they get you on. Living.
Okay. Jeez.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. I do feel the need. I really feel the need. Like, I need to finish 15. I need to see what this.
I guess I'll play more of it.
I need to see what this clusterfuck that's supposed to happen in chapter 13. Like, I need to see, like
it just didn't
what
make,
is ruining this
like
game
the
for
spoil,
people.
Like, the first, like, 5 minutes of the game.
Okay, yeah. First 5 minutes, I don't think is a spoiler.
All right, it's maybe not first, like, first hour. Like, you get to a point in the game where you have to go to a ferry. And then you get there, and the ferry's not there because they closed the ferry thing down. And there's this reporter who's like, yeah, I could get the ferry here, but I need you to go get me some gems. It's like, what the fuck is this shit? It's like, why? It's like, I'm sorry, this train will come, but I need you to go into a cave and get me some gems. What?
Well, I'm not going to try to explain side quests. But as far as the main story goes, I do want to reiterate this. Like, I didn't watch the movie still. I still have not watched the movie. I still haven't watched the anime. I feel like I understand well enough what's going on. I understand this game better than I did 13.
No one understood.
No that. One fucking understood 13. No, I kind of tease a little bit. Actually, 13 starts to come together in about the 30th hour of the game. But, like, I'm not feeling that with Final Fantasy 15. My other feedback to that, as far as, like, the story doesn't make any fucking sense, would go, what the fuck did you expect from the guy who made fucking Kingdom Hearts? What the fuck did you expect with a story that's suddenly going to make sense from the guy that made Kingdom Hearts? If you can understand Kingdom Hearts well enough to get through the game, you can understand Final Fantasy 15.
I don't understand Kingdom Hearts. Like, I watch the trailers for it now, and I'm like, I don't fucking know what's going on at all. Where's Mickey? Okay, there's Mickey. I don't know what the hell's going on.
All right. Well, you know what? We gotta take a step back. We gotta travel back in time. Back to when you couldn't patch the story in games. If you released a game and it sucked, oh well, you're fucked. That's just all it is. It's the classic game of the week. And Dark Sakura, she's back. No radio magic needed, but she could use a lozenge.
No, anyway. I could use it going away altogether.
Well, sorry to hear it. But at least you have a classic game of the week to entertain us all with this week.
And yes, I do.
You didn't even realize that this classic game of the week kind of starts a theme going with what we had the last couple
weeks.
Well,
it's the theme that's ending after today.
All right. So Dark Sakura just came here to kill something off. That's what she did. All right.
Yes, I did.
Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week tonight?
I picked Pokemon Pinball, which is a pinball game in the Pokemon series. It came out on Game Boy Color in Japan, April 14th, 1999. In North America, June 28th, 1999. Your ball is a Pokeball, and all the objects on the table are clearly Pokemon-based. So you just basically have to hit points and playing the different little sub-games, you know, or hit the targets or do things a certain way. You also have a secondary objective in the game where you have to collect all 151 Pokemon in your Pokedex in the game. So your Pokedex is saved in the individual game, well, it's saved in between the games, so you can collect them over a period of several games. So you have two tables in the game. One is red, one is blue, and each have its own elements. They have different locations that you play on as well that determine which Pokemon are available for you to capture. So as you play through it, you go and catch them. And then when you have catch mode activated, you have a 2-minute window that you can attempt to capture Pokemon. So once you activate catch mode, you have to hit the pop bumpers 6 times. And then it unlocks a sixth of... Well, each hit unlocks a sixth of an image of the Pokemon that's up for capture. So once you get them elided 6 times, then you get all 6 parts. Then you get evolution mode. That's another 2-minute window where when you select a captured Pokemon, you can then evolve it. And then that's the only way that you can add the evolved form to your Pokedex. So you have to hit these particular targets on the playfield once you get 6 targets. Only 3 of them have what you need to do it, but you have to hit those specific targets to get this to happen. I mean, it really is just, you know, it's pinball, but cute with Pokemans. It was pretty positively ranked when it came out. It had a rumble feature. Do you remember that?
I do.
Although
it was, like, built into the cartridge.
It was built into the cartridge. But my favorite quote about it is that it was called a waste of a AAA battery. It was novel, but I don't think it added too much to it, you know. But it was a pretty fun little game. Famitsu, when it came out, gave it a 32 out of 40, which is a decent rating. And it was enough to make it spawn a sequel, which was Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire, which came out in 2003, but I'm not talking about that one now. I'm talking about this one. So
it, as I recall, I think it did. It didn't make it to the virtual console, did it?
I know the Ruby and Sapphire one that you don't want to talk about did. I know for sure that's on Wii U. I don't know
about
this one.
I don't think this one did. But at any rate...
Sorry, I just love that the very first Pokemon this guy got was a Magikarp.
Flarp.
Splash.
But that's really all there is to say about it. It's a pinball game. It's got Pokemon. You can get 151 Pokemans.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Right?
It's probably... It'll probably be easier to fill up your decks in Pokemon Go than it was in this game.
I'm still trying to get a Ditto, you know. That's right. It, Pokemon Pinball.
There it is, your classic game of the week, Pokemon Pinball on the Game Boy. And Game Boy Color, really, just get it on the color, because it has a lot of color in it.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio, we have Rapid Fire News, Mailbag, and Skype Line over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. We will get to your emails. And all that good stuff when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio in progress live tonight. Episode 669 for this December the 11th of 2016. My God, I can't believe we're going to be in 2017. But at the same time, I'm ready to be done with this dumpster fire of a year, and I really hope next year is going to be different.
I totally expect dumpster fire of the year's the part two.
You want dumpster fire 2, Electric Boogaloo? Electric dumpster fire?
It not only is on fire, but it's shooting out
it's
lightning.
Shocking. It's just absolutely
it'll
shocking.
It'll drown you in lightning and water.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, hopefully it's going to start off great because I'm going to MAGFest and I'm expecting to have a fantastic time there. Not doing anything, at least that I know of, with like any panels or planned appearances. But sometimes I like to just go to these things and just listen to concerts, play old school games. I want to play more old school games this year for sure. I just kick back and have fun and hopefully find more places to eat. That's the other thing that's concerning me is that in the freezing cold weather, it's not exactly going to be easy to walk around and get stuff to eat. So I really hope there's some, I hope they're getting a lot of food trucks this year. A lot, every food truck in the DC area better be at MAGFest this year.
I'll put it this way.
What?
We have 9 years to prevent 2017 through 20 being further dumpster fires.
You know, but you would just think that the cosmos will give us like one like really awesome year. Like, I don't know. And I'm not even talking about politics. Like, what could happen outside politics that could make next year awesome? Like, I don't know. Would that be like sending
a meteor landing?
But aliens being discovered? That might be, I don't know. That could also be scary. Friendly alien Klingons being discovered.
Klingons not are Kling- friendly.
Sorry, not Klingons. Vulcan. God, I'm a horrible Trekkie. Vulcans. Vulcans being discovered. Maybe. Like it was in First Contact. Not Klingons. That would be bad if they were first.
Well, I Vulcans. Honestly think that any intelligent alien life would look at this planet and go, fuck that.
Just keep on driving.
And piss right on off. Just said, screw that.
Just like, they would look at our planet and just treat it like when you're driving down the 99 and you go by Bakersfield. Nope, 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 nope.
So these people are too primitive. Let's not pay any attention to them. But in all honesty, I would hope that people start acting like we are a civilized society. That's what I would hope for. It may be too much to ask for, but I would like, instead of this cult of ignorance that's been fostered, especially in America, I'd like to see people read a fucking book. Study their fucking history and get over what people look like, worship, who they sleep with. Get the fuck over it. I just want people to get the fuck over it.
And Betty White to stay alive.
No, oh, yeah.
No celebrity deaths in 2017. None. Well, maybe a couple. Maybe a couple.
I don't know. Who do you think will die first? Betty White or Kirk Douglas?
Oh, well, let's, I mean.
He's 100 now.
I know, and I hate to say this. I hate to say this, but can I say Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Okay, Zsa Zsa.
She's one of those people where you go, how?
Right?
How?
Preservatives.
I'm fine with her being one of the three and, you know, the.
But so, yeah, if there's certain sacrificial lambs we have to offer 2017, then it's like, okay.
If she has to die Jean-Jacques so Gabor, Betty White can live,
yes,
then I'm by
Kirk
all means.
Douglas. I mean, this is horrible. We're horrible people. We should, no, just, you know. But
Betty White seems to be in the best health of them all.
Yeah, because she's probably still having sex.
Who wouldn't want to sleep with Betty White? I'm serious.
Should we do an OLR quick poll? Oh wait, this is that's literally nothing to do with video games. Would you with Betty White? All right. SSG 100 Matt and Chad says, let's not play this game. I don't, that statement literally could be anything we talked about in the last 5 minutes. All right, let's talk about other video games. What?
I guess says maybe.
Maybe. All right. Hey, if nothing else, Dark Sakura 2017 is going to give us Mass Effect Andromeda. So let's hope for a great Mass Effect Andromeda. Fingers
I
crossed.
Hope that we are still free to say what we think of Mass Effect Andromeda and gather in large groups while playing it.
Yes,
and
that would be nice.
That my uterus isn't going to be...
And send our right to send cupcakes to EA.
Well, besides that. And that, you know, I won't have, you know, my uterus being legislated by old cupcakes? White men.
Well, that's...
Hey, I'm not that old.
While I'm playing my Mass Effect Andromeda.
Let's hope that Darksakura doesn't try to be in Mass Effect Andromeda because she wants to beam the fuck off this planet.
I want the fuck off this planet right the fuck now. Right,
she could be in Mass Effect Andromeda since they're going to be looking for all those voice actors.
Yeah, let's hope that gets resolved too. That's not going to be pretty. If
pay, you know, our voice actors.
All right. Well, and to be fair, pay the people making the games too,
yes,
as well. All right. Just and people that
if
are
not,
well,
first,
not just pay our voice actors, but give them safe conditions to work in.
That would be a good place to start.
Your voice is your instrument. And as you can tell right now, a damaged voice is not what you want to listen to in your games.
Yes, if you're sick of Darksakura coughing on this show, you can pay her.
You can pay for me to go for Kaiser to not fucking go, no, you might have to cough for another 6 weeks, brr.
Can we start a Kickstarter to get your vocal cords removed?
Girl.
I'm just kidding. You left yourself wide open for that. All right.
No, you...
She then can't.
You took
protest.
A sledgehammer and made your own opening in the side of the house to let yourself in.
That's
like the Kool-Aid man.
You're like, hey.
Like, oh yeah. Oh, I'm like, yeah. Oh no. You take that sledgehammer back. No Kool-Aid for you, Kool-Aid man.
All right. News. Video games. News about video games. Loki.
So I actually had this problem on my TV as well, Final Fantasy 15, because I had set it up. I'm like, you know, this looks like part of the picture is being cut off on the TV here. Do they have an option to fit that to the screen? No? Okay, that's unusual because most games have that.
And it's supposed to be built into the PlayStation 4. You tell the PlayStation 4 how big your TV is, and then all the games know that. But I'm noticing the same thing. I'm not noticing major cutoff.
It's just enough.
Yeah, it's just like enough where I'm like, okay, why is it getting cut off? Because I told my PlayStation how big my TV is. So...
It forgot.
I guess so.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, that is an issue that is affecting copies of the game right now. However, Square Enix is going to be fixing that. They're going to be, I guess, patching that out at some point soon. So, yeah. That is kind of lame. Also, it looks like Elite Dangerous is going to be coming to PlayStation 4 in 2017. They just announced that sometime in the middle of 2017, apparently it's going to include the Horizon Season expansion as well. I haven't heard of VR support, but that would be nice. Please. So we'll have to see.
All right. Well, earlier in the show, we talked about Capcom reboots, but this is a little bit about Sega and some very old Sega franchises that could be coming back, but not as games. That's the difference.
Pachinko machines?
No, not. But the good news is not pachinko machines either.
Oh, that's good.
So we're talking about Altered Beast and Streets of Rage. So get ready to rise from your grave. all over again. Here's the deal. It's a report from Variety, so you know what that means, entertainment industry. Sega is teaming up with Circle of Confusion and Stories International to adapt these games as potential movies or TV series. Now, if you're a little concerned about that, you should consider, though, that Circle of Confusion, some of the shows they've been involved with, Outcast, Dirk Gently, and The Walking Dead. Just this little show we have to
compete. I haven't heard of any of those.
Yeah, just this little show we have to compete against on Sunday night on Twitter and all that stuff.
But it's probably not The Good Walking Dead. It's like another show that also happens to be called
The Walking Dead shooter game that was on 360.
Activision?
Yeah, not the Telltale Walking Dead, which is pretty good.
That's Activision. That's Activision's fault. They suck.
Yeah.
Like their version, they remember they also had the Fast and the Furious game, which also blew ass as well.
Now, I guess the interesting thing about these games, they're kind of generic. Like Streets of Rage, I mean, everybody knows it for the soundtrack, and it's not that it was a bad game, but it was like there's not a lot of
gang show.
Yeah, I know there's not a lot of stories there in Streets of Rage. Same thing with Altered Beast. Altered Beast could just be
werewolf show.
Greek mythology show. Zeus and friends. Like that's all
it's Zeus and friends.
That's all Altered Beast needs to be. So
Altered Beast, the like sitcom sensation.
You know what show I wish they'd bring back, and maybe Altered Beast could somehow help with this? I don't know why my mind is going there, but when we talk about like Zeus and friends, I think about Xena Warrior Princess. And just like that whole mythos that exists on TV, because that was tied in with Hercules, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a
yeah.
third show at one point as well?
Was Jack of All Trades in that universe?
No, I don't think it was. But
like those famous, those fantasy shows all
I thought he was part of the Xenaverse.
He played Autolycus, didn't he?
Huh?
Bruce Campbell had a character in Xena.
Yeah, I thought that was...
And he was a different character for...
Jack of All Trades?
Yeah, I
thought that was a spinoff.
They're telling us in chat it was Xena. ActF says it was Xena and Hercules only. All right, that's fine. But I'm just saying, I kind of miss those like super like cheesy budget TV shows, fantasy stuff. That's what I want Altered Beast to be.
Silk Stockings.
Like...
Forever Night.
Like, I want...
I'm fine with the reboot of the Silk Stocking series. Softcore porn, hell yes.
I want the dinosaur to be like a guy in a pterodactyl suit. That's
a pterodactyl suit. It's like this is like a guy with one of those what do they call those suits? The like the Green Man thing. They have like a name for them.
The unitards. I don't
not
know.
Not the unitards. They actually have like I can't remember what they're called now, but they have a specific name for those like spandex full body suits.
Don't wear me ever. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I there's a name for them. It's escaping me, but yeah, it's something like that. It could be a pterodactyl.
Right.
They can have dinosaurs actually with you know the Jurassic Park inflatable dinosaur costume that they have with the floppy head.
Brad from Pop Culture thinks you're talking about a mocap suit.
No, not a mocap suit. I'm gonna have to look this up now.
All right. Anyhow, let me move on to something completely different. This is news that might... We're having a very Final Fantasy night here at Orange Lounge Radio, but these are some rumors going around about Final Fantasy's 30th anniversary. VG Leaks is publishing this, saying they have a pretty reliable source on this information, but 2017 is the 30th anniversary.
That's what they're called, morph suits.
Thank you. All right, back to Final Fantasy. So 2017 is going to be the 30th anniversary of the Final Fantasy franchise, and these rumors are saying that the Final Fantasy VII Remake and Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, will be the big releases next year to celebrate that Final Fantasy's birthday, which, you know, I would believe that at least the first episode of the remake, anyway, is going to be ready to go next year. And I was kind of talking about that on a previous episode of OLR where I said, you know... we finally got some of these PlayStation 4 wishes this year with 15 and with Last Guardian, but you know next year they're going to have to deliver two, and I really think Square especially is kind of on the hook to either deliver Kingdom Hearts 3 or the 7 remake next year. And I, for some reason, my gut tells me we're still going to be waiting on Kingdom Hearts 3. So, but the 7 remake, I have a feeling the 7 remake is just in 15's engine.
It is.
Yeah, well, but that makes me wonder how the battles are going to play out. Are the battles going to be 15's battles? Because that's going to rub some people the wrong way. I don't know. Anyway.
See, now, if they're not like 15's battles and are like 7's battles, that's going to be the most fucking amazing game right there because that's how 15 should have been.
We'll see. Anyway, But anyway, besides those games, there's some other things that are supposed to be coming next year for the 30th anniversary, such as the Final Fantasy 13 trilogy coming to PlayStation 4. 13, 13, 2, and Lightning Returns on separate discs, and they will be 1080p and 60 frames a second, which, to be fair, you finally they fixed some of the graphic patches. You can kind of do that on the PC, so I can't imagine that the transition to PlayStation 4 for those games would be very hard. So I don't want to use that word that you all tease me for saying too much, but this is one of those things that we've been waiting for a while, and it just it seems like an easy thing for Square to do. So we'll see. I mean, that just I feel like if you're going to make up bullshit, that's a pretty easy one to make up. So I don't know. We'll see. But this is the real whopper in this whole leak or whatever rumor thing, is that there's going to be also a Final Fantasy 30th anniversary collection. It will have Final Fantasies 1 through 9. All of them will be on this collection, and it will be released on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. That's where I start to go, this rumor's bullshit.
What's a Vita?
But that's anyway, 1 through 9, and they say it will have two versions of Final Fantasy 1 through 6, the originals and the modern ports. This would mean that Final Fantasy 2 and 3's NES versions will get an official English translation for the very first time. 7 through 9 will only exist in their newer ports. I'm assuming that means the PC Steam versions that are out there. Not the 7 remake, obviously, but what you can already purchase on the PlayStation 4 as far as 7 is concerned. This doesn't seem like too much of a stretch as far as translating Final Fantasy 2 and 3. My understanding is 2 was already translated. Like, 2 was ready to go, and for whatever reason, they pulled the plug on it at the last minute. 3, on the other hand, I mean, well, both those games have been translated. You know, there was the Game Boy Advance, right? Had it? PlayStation Portable? PSP? I know they put those games out elsewhere, and they had to translate the games for that. Well, and of course, the DS version of Final Fantasy 3, of course. But to translate the original NES versions would be very, very, very interesting, because that would be the first time that a lot of people would get to play those original versions of 2 and 3. But again, the fact that they say it's coming to the Vita as well, to me, that debunks the whole rumor. Sorry to be so negative, but
it could be a digital only release.
I guess.
I mean, and if they're just like ROMs, they're
all right.
If it's a ROM with a front end type thing.
You know what? ActDeft brings up a really good point. I got to honor this. ActDeft says Japan loves the Vita, though. Remember that World of Final Fantasy got released on the Vita. All right.
That's weird, but that Sony doesn't love the Vita. That's kind of odd.
That's a good point. So if that collection exists for the Vita in Japan, just not, it will never get released here.
Why aren't they trying to push the Vita? I mean, I don't understand this. They're putting out so much content for it, like way more than the 3DS is getting. It's like, but it's like, nah, fuck it. You know, whatever.
I don't know.
It's dead to us.
And then Raginator in chat, of course, says that I would love to see the missing game show up on Steam. Well, funny that you mentioned that, because apparently they are saying that the Final Fantasy VII Remake and Final Fantasy XV will come to PC, but not until early to mid-2018. So, sorry, you're going to have to wait a little while. But they're also saying with this, again, these rumors, like, don't stop. And that's why I'm like, the more that you put out, like, if it had just been the 13 trilogy, I would have been like, all right, this is going to happen. But then they say Final Fantasy 1, 2, 12, Tactics, and Chrono Trigger, for some reason, we're throwing that in the Final Fantasy anniversary, will be released on Steam before the end of 2017. See, it's like, the more and more we add to this, the more I go, I don't know. We'll see. It would be great if it was all true. I think there's, for all those things I named, I know there's an audience for it out there, so it would be great if it was true. Anyway, sorry, that was supposed to be rapid fire. That turned a little long, but there's just a lot to that. Dark Sakura, what else do you have?
Tekken 7 is getting Kuma and Panda, which technically is the same character, just a palette swap.
Right.
But we like Kuma and Panda, and they're there in other fuzzy glory. And then, last but not least, it looks like there is going to be a new addition to World of Final Fantasy. Sora from Kingdom Hearts is showing up. Yay. And I think it's more to promote the Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8. So.
Nah. clever little bit of crossover, right?
Yep.
In chat, SJ100 Matt wants to point out Chrono Trigger was in the Final Fantasy Anthology disc with Final Fantasy IV for PlayStation 1. Good
True
point.
That.
Good point. I forgot about that. So, all right. All right. Well played. Well played. All right. Let's check out what's in stores this week as we travel around the world, starting with the U.S.
Not a whole lot of stuff being released this week, but we do have a few things. So, starting off, looks like Bastion is going to be out on Xbox One. Filthy Lucre, I guess, or Lucre. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. It's going to be out on PC. Batman the Telltale Series, Episode 5, City of Light, out on pretty much all the platforms. A game called Drive, Drive, Drive on PC and PlayStation 4, which is like a driving racing game that you're actually racing on three tracks at the same time, which is kind of fun. Feist on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Stardew Valley on PlayStation 4 this week. The Little Acre on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Guilty Gear Xrd Revelator on PC. Space Hulk Deathwing on PC. Stardew Valley also making its way out to Xbox One as well. Akiba's Beat on PlayStation 4. Botolo on PC and Mac. And then on Vita, we have Saga, Scarlet Grace, and, of course, Super Mario Run out on iOS. And then that would be it.
Going to Japan, things slowing down there a little bit as well. But on the PlayStation 4 this week, you have Akiba's Beat comes out on December the 15th. And there's also some new DualShock 4 controllers in gold and silver that will be out this week for the PlayStation 4. As we talked about earlier, yes, we do have releases on the Vita, such as Saga Scarlet Grace comes out this week on the PlayStation Vita. And that is Adventure Time, Secrets of the Nameless Kingdom. Yes, Adventure Time is making its way to Japan as well, so that's pretty cool. And then lastly, looking at the 3DS this week in Japan, Yo-Kai Watch 3. Oh, that's why this is a slower week. There's a Yo-Kai Watch 3 coming out this week in Japan. Sukiyaki is the game that's out this week. Is that like a greatest... Because there was already Sushi and Tempura, which looks like it's getting some sort of box release. So is this Sukiyaki kind of like a like Yellow, Pokemon Yellow would be, where it's kind of like the best parts of the first two?
Sukiyaki is delicious.
Yes, but that would also go in line with the fact that the other two games are called Sushi and Tempura, both of which are
delicious.
Let's see. That is it. I'm looking at this Sega 3D Archives, but sadly that's next week. But that looks like it's going to be awesome as well. Dude, those Sega 3D things on the DS are pretty awesome. All right. Anyhow, how about Europe, Dark Sakura?
On the 11th is Bastion for Xbox One. On the 12th is Bridge Constructor for PlayStation 4. The 13th has Feist for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And the 14th is Guilty Gear XRD 3rd. Xrd Revelator for PC.
All right. Let's open up the mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate@orangelaunchradio.com if you want to participate with our mailbag segment. Again, that's participate@orangelaunchradio.com. Dark Sakura's back, and that means yes. I get to make her read emails once again on the show. You've missed her. So she's going to cough her way through a few emails tonight, but just a couple,
since
right?
Since the last show. Since the last show discussed anime shows the host had seen, I recently began using Netflix's download feature to finally start using my commute to watch the over-the-top revenge fantasy Kill la Kill. Kill la Kill is great. Which I am definitely seeing the hype for that show, although who the hell do I think I am not watching Gurren Lagann first. Previously, I watched the dub of Squid Girl / Shinryaku, Ika Musume, which was cute enough, although I don't see nearly enough mention of that one in the anime circles. I also, just for the heck of it, got the Cowboy Bebop box set, always a classic. I've seen the first two episodes up to now. Just to ask a rather unrelated animation series, by the way, am I imagining things? Or was the DuckTales era Disney cartoon Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers supposed to be in some way a spiritual follow-up to the Rescuers? No, not really. Not to my experience. It was more just a scenario for adventures. But the only anime that I've watched recently is I watched all of Danganronpa, Future and Despair, and then Hope, which don't watch it unless you've played the other games. It won't make much sense.
I was going to say, you missed last... I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, but somebody had emailed us like looking for anime recommendations. You know me, I went blank because I don't watch a lot of it. Loki had some good ideas, and the chat helped out a lot too, but Dark Sakura... I know you used to watch a lot. I don't know if you do as much anymore.
Well,
but
Attack on Titan Season 2 is coming out. Mm. Or Shingeki no Kyojin is the Japanese name. I've really been out of those circles for a while. The last one I tried to watch with any seriousness was Gatchaman Crowds, which it ended up just completely just not being good at all because it's not real Gatchaman. I know Tatsunoko produced it, but it's not fucking Gatchaman. So, no. I've watched Macross Frontier was pretty good. It's a little old now. There was a Trigun OAV that came out not too long ago. And then, of course, I've seen some of the Ghibli movies that have come out. So
yeah, that was my best suggestion. I mean, everybody talks about them for a reason.
They're I always tell people to start with the classics, though. I mean, and actually, and this one was from Robert M. I've got the Cowboy Bebop box set that came out when the series was still relatively new, and we marathoned all of it in one night. If you're looking for something around that era of anime, you could also look for Trigun. That, you know, that one's really good. If you like Cowboy Bebop and you want something a little bit more raunchy, there's also Space Dandy, which is by the same artist. It's definitely out there. It's pretty fun. Goodness.
Let me get, while you brainstorm, let me get to a chat comment here. Raginator in chat says, Netflix has a download feature. Yeah, that was a pretty big deal in some of the news, tech news, like last week or the week before.
Yeah, certain titles have that.
Yeah, not all of them, but certain titles you can now download. And he asked a follow-up question, what's to stop people from abusing that feature by pirating the shit out of videos? My assumption is that they're encoded somehow, probably using some piece of your personal information as the key. So that way, if it ended up on a website, they know who did it, and it wouldn't be viewable without your ID or something like that. So that's my guess. I don't know that to be true, but I would assume that something with the technology of Netflix behind it probably has the power to encrypt the file that your device only can view it. And also, as far as like Androids, I guess, are a little different, but as far as like the iOS devices, it's not exactly the easiest thing in the world to go pull a file. I mean, yes, I know there's third-party apps that do it, but it's not like something everybody
uses. No supported way.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Anyway, any other quick anime recommendations for
off
the next
the
email?
Top of my head, I tell everyone, of course, to go back and watch the classics. Watch Gatchaman. It is the best.
Fair enough.
The last one actually has already been covered in a topic. It says, greetings, peoples, and there's a link to the Vivendi article.
Sure.
This week I saw another development in Vivendi's bid to take over Ubisoft. I heard people decrying this action for months, but I've yet to hear an answer to this question. Why is this a bad thing? Staycare, Redertainment, Trainer.
The most simple answer I have for that is because some of Activision's worst years were under that. That's right, Logie? That's pretty much the quickest answer for that. Why sure. People are afraid about the Vivendi thing?
Yeah, I mean, just I think how what they did with Activision, basically. Yeah.
That's essentially
they,
what
they like
to.
Kill off Sierra Games and like all the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Westwood. There
studio.
Was that. Yep, there was that whole stuff with like King's Quest, and then the whole like
or Westwood. That might have been EA. I don't know,
but still, in a nutshell, that's part of it. I think at the end of the day, if the games are there, nobody's going to care. But I think that it's their track record is what concerns people. So. All right, that's it for emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. We are almost to calls, but we have a few more stories before that, starting with Loki.
All right. So this is pretty cool that Thank you. Valve is doing a major update for Dota 2. And so now this is a 7.0 update. They're doing, I guess it's in the test client right now. And they're calling the patch the New Journey. So what they're going to be changing on that, the user interface has been reworked. They're, I guess, opening up more space on screen so you can see more of the action. They're also... big gameplay changes have been made, including reworks of old heroes, a branching talent system. They're saying, like, in the Heroes of the Storm, a small fountain strewn around the map that allow characters to swap inventory while away from their base, and the map has also been altered. There are also some other changes they made as well. A new backpack system allows players to compete in multi-part items without having to return the base. Also, three heroes have received model updates. Looks like Slaughter, Viper, and Enigma. And then also users can now script computer-controlled characters when creating custom game modes. So quite a bit of stuff, it looks like.
I need to go back and revisit Dota 2, clearly, because that's a lot of changes in this game, especially like when they change the interface a lot to, you know.
Yeah, it's very minimal now, so that's kind of nice.
I'm sure that'll be good for people that stream this game quite a bit. So, yeah, I have to admit, guys, you know, there's a lot of those lane games out, right? You know, you got League of Legends, you got Dota, you got Heroes of the Storm, Smite is a lane game. You know, there's a lot of these out there. It's hard for me to follow them all, but I know this is like an insanely popular title, especially on Twitch. And it seems like this is like a global, like there's a huge global following for this game, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, but I'm very curious about the fact that they also put in the branching talent system similar to what they have in Heroes of the Storm. So, maybe they're trying to make it a little more accessible or easier for people to understand. I don't know. So anyhow, lots and lots of news on Pokemon Go these past few weeks. Data miners went to town on a new version of Pokemon Go that was pushed out to devices. The Silph Road is the, is it the Reddit or the website? I think it's both. It's a Reddit and a website. Both. That really goes to town on Pokemon and Pokemon Go. And they did some data mining of the game. And they found within the game the sound files for 100 new monsters. That would be the Gen 2 monsters. They're not able to find graphics, though, because apparently graphics went back server side. So you can't see the graphics in these patches anymore. There is also a new section for shinies, which I'm sure if Shane was out there, he would perk up. Actually, I did message Shane as soon as I saw this. I said, Shane, did you hear about shinies in Pokemon Go? And he's kind of like, he did not go like, oh, I got to play it again. He was kind of like, eh. So no, I think it will be all about implementation. How are shinies going to be in there? Who knows? But what's also interesting in the data mining, you're supposed to be able to add costumes to your companions. A holiday section is one of the ones that's there. There's also going to be avatar customization, including sponsored content. And Pokemon will now have genders outside of Nidoran, male and female, which would be in line with what happened in Gen 2 in the main games anyway. This would indicate...
What about my non-binary Pokemon?
In the Pokemon games as of Gen 7, that doesn't exist.
Damn them.
So, but anyway, so that pretty much confirms that Gen 2 is happening. It's just a matter of when. Well, that when could be as soon as Monday, tomorrow, by the time you hear this, perhaps. Apparently, Niantic is going to be doing a huge release of information on Monday. They have actually said so much as information on new Pokemon coming out Monday. However, a lot of folks jumping to conclusions that means Gen 2. But before you get your hopes up, I want to remind you, there are three legendary birds that you still cannot get in Gen 1. They could do a holiday event that will involve those birds, and that would be new Pokemon. So, lowered expectations, people. But the fact that the sound files exist, I mean, it's very clear that they will implement Gen 2 at some point. It may not be Monday. Meanwhile, though, sponsorships galore for Pokemon Go, including Starbucks, just went live on Friday at 11 a.m. 7,800 stores turned into Pokestops and gyms.
Most across the street from each other.
Right? Or like at least one near my work. It's right next door to what's a grocery store called The Nugget that I don't think probably exists anywhere but Northern California. But The Nugget is a Pokestop. So literally you have two Pokestops like right next to each other that you can hit from Starbucks because they're both the one was a portal in Ingress, which by the way, none of these are portals in Ingress. So now we have a diversion. Well, did the Union Banks go into Pokemon Go?
I didn't check for Ingress?
That. Yeah, Union Bank went into Ingress. When SoftBank acquired Union Bank, those all became Ingress portals. Like in Roseville on Douglas Boulevard. Sorry to get local, guys, but I have to for Loki. On Douglas Boulevard by the Mongolian Barbecue we really like. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, there's a Union Bank there, and that's now an Ingress portal.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a Pokestop. I didn't check.
I'm still not interested in the fact that the Circle Ks became Ingress portals. Because they don't have the cool, like, where you buy stuff from there and you get the, you know, receipt with code that you can turn.
Yeah,
no,
and the hint water thing went away, too. But anyway, so, yeah, all the Starbucks. And there is a Frappuccino that they advertise in the game, but they don't advertise it in stores. And so you can actually order this at the, and they know how to make it because this whole thing got leaked through an internal memo anyway. But the frap, which I actually ordered one yesterday because I was just like, fuck it, I'll try it and, you know, see what it is. It's a vanilla frap. There's no coffee in it, so it's a non-coffee frap. It's vanilla, and they put blackberries in it and blend it, and then I think some raspberry sauce. Get it? It's berries because Pokemon Go, the berries. Get it? Anyway. But I have to admit, I don't know if I walked in on something else going on, but I feel like the employees at Starbucks laughed at me when I ordered the Pokemon Go thing, and that really wasn't cool. Like, don't fucking have this promotion where people are giving you money and then laugh at people who are buying them. But I don't know. What are you uh-oh-ing there? Oh, did you get your Ditto here?
Yep.
There's a Ditto.
I just got a Ditto.
Hey, it's Alan. Alan.
It's a Pidgey.
Ditto.
It's a Pidgey.
Okay. Have you caught a Ditto yet, Alan? He's got his phone out. Loki's got his phone out.
So I don't have to do it. I mean.
Yeah, apparently Ditto's hang out at the house. All right. where was I going with that? Oh, yes. So that is not the only sponsorship that's happening is Starbucks, but Sprint also announced that Sprint stores will be turning into Pokestops. It's weird, though, because the Sprint announcement came first, but the Sprint stores are still not Pokestops. But I believe that happens on Monday is when that whole thing starts. So going to be lots of new Pokestops popping up between Starbucks and what used to be Radio Shack. So there you go.
And he ran away, that asshole.
Everybody in chat is going, this is not a drill. Ditto alert. Stop the show. Ditto alert.
Another Rhyhorn, though.
I just think it's great that right after you catch it, goes, oh?
Oh? All right. Anyway, let's move on. Whoever's next, because I'm not looking at show roll, because I got to catch this Pidgey wink.
I guess that's me, isn't it?
Yes. Well, you already caught the Pokemon anyway.
Whatever. I have to post it all over the internet. Nintendo is, looks like the Nintendo Switch is going to have GameCube titles on it via Virtual Console. Eurogamer heard from three separate sources about this, and that they've already confirmed three titles, Super Mario Sunshine, Luigi's Mansion, and Super Smash Bros. Melee. There's also a possibility that Animal Crossing might be included, so everyone can go back and play the old schoolness of the old Animal Crossing. They're also saying is that there should be an update program where you can upgrade previous Virtual Console purchases to use on the Switch, instead of having to buy them again. So, let's hope so. Uh-oh.
Oh, because we all heard Loki take a breath? Is that why we're uh-oh-ing?
No, I was just thinking, I'm sure that's going to work just like the stupid Virtual Console shit that we're in the fuck between the Wii
you know
and the
what
Wii U.
I got to say this. The classic NES is the best interface I've seen yet for the Virtual Console. So, if those guys are doing the Switch's Virtual Console, then I am cautiously optimistic, I think is the best way to put it. I'm cautiously optimistic. But I guess this is all really rumor anyway, and we won't really know until the 12th of January. So. Aw. Alan, come here. Alan has to tell this story on air. Alan. He might be in the middle of playing Morrowind, however, though, because I know he's been playing that recently. Or come here, Alan. You have to tell the story, listeners, because the listeners are commenting. It's been a while since Pokemon Go derailed the show. So Alan, who I woke up out of a slumber one day to say, "There's a Ditto outside. Get it." And then the Pokemon was already gone by the time he reached over and got his phone. What happened with this Ditto just now?
I threw 2 Ultra Balls. I went straight for the big leagues. I got a great throw and a nice throw, and it broke out both times and then ran away. So I didn't get shit.
You know what?
What?
I used a regular Pokeball and it was red.
Yeah, because we didn't know it was a Ditto until you caught it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Alan. Alan, I have 2. So when they finally release trading, I'll give you a Ditto. How's that sound?
That's fine.
If I find another one, I will alert you to all its right. existence.
We are on Ditto alert here at Studio N7.
Who cares about like baby watch? This is Ditto watch.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Who cares about babies?
Ditto.
All right, moving on, Loki.
In a move that I'm sure is going to make for incredibly great movies, or not, we have Will Ferrell starring in a movie based off an esports player.
Nope.
Yes. So
nope. Nope. I don't even need to know any more about this movie. Nope.
But hold on. Nope. It's written by the guy that did the script for the SpongeBob SquarePants 3 movie.
Nope, 2.
And apparently he's going to be a similar character as the one he played in Talladega Nights.
Nope.
Will this be insulting to video game players?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, SSG100 Matt in chat says, surprised this wasn't an Adam Sandler movie. No, Adam Sandler now has that deal with Netflix. So that, because fucking everybody's on Netflix now. But Adam Sandler has that deal with Netflix where now his movies just go directly to Netflix. So you don't have to tell or admit to anybody that you're watching them. So.
I like Will Ferrell. I mean, I think he's funny. But there's no way this movie's not going to be completely insulting to everybody.
I know. I'm very worried about it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess like Talladega Nights was insulting to NASCAR fans. So I don't really care about that. But I mean, you know. And I'm not really a huge in the esports. But like, can we get past the stigma like, oh my God, there's people that play games for like, you know, professionally. Oh, what nerds. I mean, like, what year is this? I mean, seriously. That we're devolving to this as, like, funny.
But yet, you know, we are all impressed when there's football players in their late 30s and all this stuff. It's like, I don't know, it's a bit of a double standard, but anyway.
Whatever.
Yeah. Moving on to other news. Darksoccer, where did you find that Psyduck? Right here?
I just hatched it, sorry.
Oh, you hatched it?
Yeah.
Damn but
if you keep finding Rhyhorns in your front yard.
Yeah, I know. There's tons of Rhyhorns and tons of Pikachus. Here. Anyway.
How have I not caught any more Pikachus? I need a Raichu.
And the rest of y'all stop playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I did because it's fucking boring.
At least I didn't go back to Ingress.
Hey, watch it. All right. Moving on. We could use
someone, by the way, working on the portal by my house.
Did you really? Did you pull over? Were you like green or blue? And if they said blue, I'm calling the cops.
No,
I always see people stopped at places.
I could see. They were blue. It was one of our neighborhood people, but I didn't say anything because I was like, I didn't want them to know I was a defector.
Oh, what do you mean defector?
I didn't go green. I went to Pokemon Go.
Oh.
Which is better.
Whatever. Anyway.
Ingress was giving me stress. It was making me throw up because I'd get mad at the red team. At like one
There's no fucking red
Not
team.
Not red. I meant green.
Did you know what game you were playing? Where were you with the green team? Who are you?
You know what I mean?
She was the fucking mole the whole time.
No, I wasn't.
That's why our farms get smashed. It was you.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
It was that same person who pissed me off, so I finally just stopped playing.
All right, look. Anyway, moving on to our final news story tonight. Speaking of tragedy.
The show?
No, Konami, actually.
That's a big tragedy. Okay, that counts.
It's a story about Konami. Do you remember a few weeks ago on the show, we talked about the Castlevania remade game, which was being made in Unreal Engine. It was a fan game. It was going to remake all of the NES Castlevania, but within the Unreal Engine, and it looked really good. Y'all know the rest of this story. Where am I going with it?
This is why we can't have nice things.
What's the punchline, everybody? What happened to the Castlevania remake?
Konami will sue.
Cease and desist.
That's right, y'all. Castlevania Darksided C and D. That's it. Cease and desist sent from Konami to the developers. And Deja Wolves, which was the developer, announced that all updates and production of the game was ordered to stop. However, also said that they have been allowed to keep the files for now and still hopeful that development can continue in the future. He's talking to someone from Konami UK about acquiring an official license. Here comes the Kickstarter. That way he can continue to work on the game. So interesting that the files are still out there. At least perhaps this presents an awareness that once it's on the internet, it's always on the internet and it wasn't going to go anywhere. So maybe there's that, if nothing else. But for now, no more work to come on that game. For what it's worth, as much as we envision that Konami is nothing but a pachinko company now, perhaps they are going to put their foot in gaming once again. There's a recent, a trademark that was filed by Konami for TurboGrafx. What the fuck is Konami doing involved with TurboGrafx? Well, remember, the TurboGrafx was from NEC and Hudson Soft. And who bought Hudson several years ago? Many years ago at this point. That was Konami. Yep. So Konami technically owns that, basically those IPs and that license now. So Konami filed a trademark for TurboGrafx. It was filed on December 1st. A lot of different classifications, including video games and game consoles. Kanye West album not mentioned. I don't know if you all know that. Do you know Kanye West working on an album called TurboGrafx 16? I mean, he's had some personal difficulties that are going to delay that album a bit.
But, I don't fucking care.
I know. But anyway, so what does this mean? Will they be bringing... I think this is very clear exactly what it means. I see NES minis on the shelf. I see classic Genesis stuff on the shelf.
You mean Phil Collins?
Right? So I'm sure this just means a mini TurboGrafx 16 will be on its way before too long.
I want it to play cue cards. If it had, oh my God, what if it actually had like duo hookups and had a built-in arcade card? I would weep happy tears because then I could finally play the Super CD version of Strider.
I wouldn't expect it, but maybe that version of Strider will be built into the device, but I doubt that, seriously. I doubt it. I think it'll be, ooh, it's Bonk and Keith Courage all over again. Yippee-yay. It'll be all the same stuff they released on Virtual Console, which would at least include Aliens Crush and Devil's Crush, so maybe this isn't the end of the world. What? Those games are awesome.
They are, but I'm just thinking of the other ones. I mean, at least, I mean, can't we get, like, Legendary Wings or... I think it was one of the Thunder Force games. I don't know.
All right, maybe you know and you want to call us to tell us. We're gonna open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, but before we get there, one more story, right, Jamie?
Yes, and this is just a little bit of interest. There have been very bad Akira games that came out. And we all know what Akira is, from the movie, right? And manga that involved Kaneda and his awesome bike and Tetsuo, who got really screwed over in the end. But a guy named Patrick Scott Peterson got his hand on 4 copies of an unfinished prototype for a Game Boy version of an Akira game. And they were all at different build stages as well. So he was able to go through and see how much of the game had been done. The first levels play like Excite Bike, to be honest. You know, complete with, you know, obstacles and jumping ramps and things. But then it had platforming levels as well. It didn't really have much in the way of all the graphics done. There were plenty of placeholders left. And it had like the same stage over, but it had the final boss in it, which was the kind of messed up Tetsuo from the end of the movie. The placeholder music also was really terrible. I don't think it had anything really to do with the series. But it was just interesting seeing it, and it's I like when people find just those little prototypes after, you know, when you're finding these unlabeled copies and lo and behold, it's something that was never released. So that was pretty good.
Little unearthed treasures, even if it was probably not that great of a game.
It's like the type of, you know, treasure, like when you find dog poo.
Skypeline.
It didn't look very fun.
Skypeline's open, y'all. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, we will take your calls about something we have talked about or perhaps something we haven't. We'll find out. Let's get to it, though. We got the Skype line lighting up, but we'll start off with this call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Bobby from Atlanta.
Hi, Bobby. It's nice to have you. It's, you know, you are kind enough to have us on your show every week. It's nice to have this show graced with your presence once in a while. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so I'm asking for some receipts.
All right.
Because there was an assertion or an accusation, really, made on this fine program of yours several hours ago, way back in Part A. And I'm trying to figure out, like, I want to see the receipts because it doesn't seem plausible to me that a company named Nintendo, 4 months before they are supposed to release a new console thingy to the world, has not actually figured out the core gimmick technology of that console. And I'm trying to figure out why it seems... Because I watched the video on The Tonight Show again, and I noticed that, you know, when they were on the screen, they moved the character and moved the camera, and then when the tablet had the game on, it was in the exact same place. And I'm hearing on this show that it was faked with two feeds. And I'm wondering what clued you into that, because I am not seeing this.
Logie? Well,
because the vast delay between switching from their overhead screen to the other screen. There you go.
That's it? Then how did they get the camera position in the exact right space on the tablet?
I don't know if it was
that's
in the exact
really
space.
Good of them to watch and have a second person move the or put the main feed on the same at the same place before they shut it off.
And I had theorized in chat, I didn't say this on air, but I theorized in chat when this topic was coming up, was that, well, I could see that they perhaps do some pre-recorded things to prevent a technical foul, especially because the environment of a television studio live TV broadcast is not somebody's living room.
And Tonight Show is not live. It is live to tape.
Well, that's true. That's fair. Well, they still wouldn't want to screw. It is in front of a live audience, however, still.
Yes.
So they probably want to minimize those types of screw-ups. So that I could see. But when Reggie did whatever he did, like he was talking to buy time or whatever, I figured that what he's hiding is that, yes, there is a transition time between moving it from the dock to the handheld. And that's okay. Like if there's
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't more than 15 seconds, and so I think that's reasonable. But Loki, do you still think it was faked?
I don't think that necessarily technology is not working. I just think maybe whatever dev unit they're using out there isn't ready to do that.
But they're 4 months away from mass production.
Right, and I'm not saying that.
Do you really think, like, do you think it's not coming out in March? Because if it's not working on their dev units now, they're not going to have a production ready in 4 months.
I don't know what's working on their dev units, to be honest. I mean, but honestly, I don't care.
So it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel true.
Yes, it doesn't feel like... Okay, let's put it this way. It doesn't feel like the initial thing that they showed off on their trailer, if you will, where it's like
seamless. Which was totally faked. The trailer was totally faked.
Well, right.
Because they even said the actors were playing with a blank screen. All the screens were put in post-production in the 3-minute teaser trailer.
Okay, so now we're starting to find some common ground here, at least, in trying to mediate this whole thing. I feel like now I'm starting to see where the thing is. So Loki, you're seeing like this does not function the way that it functioned in the trailer.
Well, it just doesn't seem like that. Like, it was odd that he was buying time. Like, and I'm always curious when someone's buying time for something.
Okay.
It's like, well, what are you not showing me?
Okay. Okay, so it's the buying time that leads you to suspect something's fishy.
Yeah, I just figured that they're showing kind of an example of what it looked like on this, you know, version of the device that they had, that maybe they had two devices. One was hooked up, you know, via HDMI to their display or whatever it was, and they had a second one that was, you know, running the game on the tablet, and just to kind of give you an idea of what it looks like.
And they were just amazingly able to get the camera angle and the character in the exact same position on both of those on live national television.
Yes, sure, why not?
Because Occam's Razor says it was all the same device.
True, but Nintendo's Razor says that I don't believe they're bullshit, so, you know.
So it just doesn't fit your worldview. So you're going to make the truthiness of it couldn't have been real instead of the more likely scenario of it was actually real and there is something in the dev unit that caused him to have to buy time for 15 seconds.
I really don't care. I literally didn't care at all because the footage they were showing me of Zelda Breath of the Wild was unimpressive because I've already seen that bullshit.
But you see, it's still a huge accusation to say they haven't figured out the tech for months.
Did I say that? Because I sure as hell did not fucking say that.
You did say that you don't think they figured it out yet, which is why they had to fake it.
They're online. They haven't figured out yet. I was talking about the fact that they have always online for the stupid Super Mario run. I said that's where they're behind. I never said they didn't figure out the tech switching between a screen and... Obviously, this is the only gimmick that's on that machine. I would hope that they have that figured out. Never did I quote that they didn't have that part figured out yet. Because I would have probably asserted that that system would be delayed if that was the case.
All right.
I
love you, Loki. Good talk.
All right. It was good. I feel like we worked it out.
Some receipts. I maybe didn't agree with the receipts, but I saw them.
All right. Fair enough. And I also feel like, I feel like when we kind of hit on the differences between the trailer and what we saw on the Tonight Show, now we're starting to
I'm starting to see some new footage for all, like we've seen the same damn area of that map for like
January
ever 12th. Now.
31 days.
January 12th.
31 days.
Like even what they showed off at the Game Awards where it's like we've already seen this shit. Like come on, just like show us something new, different. That's like, wow, that's really got me interested.
Let me ask this, and I think Bobby, you'd want to stay on the line for this one. Let me ask this: What would it take on January 12th for you to be like, okay, I was wrong. I'm pre-ordering a Switch.
Well, I already want to pre-order one, but like, how about this?
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for the call.
No. How about this? That we're not going to fuck up our stupid supply and demand shit,
so
they're going to be available in stores.
You want Reggie to say we're not going
to
fuck up our supply and demand?
Well, I want them to actually not fuck it up because I don't care what he says. You know what'll happen in stores? Yeah, we just didn't anticipate the demand on this system.
You know
bull fucking shit.
You know what, Loki? I honestly think that is a completely fair criticism. It's a completely fair criticism of Nintendo based on their track record.
Yeah,
of the
don't
Wii,
get me wrong. I like Nintendo's
the Amiibos. The probably would have been the Wii U if more people had been into it, and the classic NES Mini. I mean, we do
it
have
was
a pattern.
Still the Wii U, even when that first came out. Even though that many people weren't into it, it was still the Wii U.
All right, Bobby, I would say that's a fair criticism, right?
Yes, absolutely,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, right.
I hope they don't fuck it up either.
Like come on, you got.
It's so refreshing to hear you swear on this program.
Well, it's just like, I mean, you don't have you don't have any idea how to do supply chain at this point. I mean, come on. I mean, who's actually going to believe that at this point? It's just the fucking drive up the hype because, oh, people must have it. Put it out there so people can actually buy it. The fact that units were available for the Wii U wasn't what killed the Wii U. It was because there wasn't software to support it.
And again, I stressed this last week. I'm stressing it again. You better be ready to do your pre-order on January 12th if you want this thing in the first 6 months next year. Because I don't trust Nintendo's track record either, and I don't think anybody here does.
Especially which has me very suspect right now. We're talking like, pre-orders are going to start less than 3 months before that system comes out. That is going to be a fucking mess. Just coming from a distribution standpoint, that is going to be a huge fucking mess. Because you know why? Because Nintendo fucking demands that retail has their orders in 60 days in advance at least. So what you're saying, you're going to just take those orders day one? I mean, how many days are you going to open this pre-order
already
for?
Because Nintendo already knows exactly how many each store is getting, and it's up to the stores to figure it out.
Exactly, because it's going to be a fucking mess all over again because they don't have their shit together.
Yep. All right. Bobby, anything else you want to comment on or talk about before we let you go?
No, that was it.
All right. Good discussion. Check out the Bobby Blackwolf Show, of course, every Sunday night. Well, most Sunday nights, right? Here at the Voice of Geeks Network.
Not next week, but I will be here Christmas night, just like you guys.
Well, it's not like you don't have an archive of hundreds of shows to go check out.
Exactly.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, or 1-877-GAME-OLR. Act Deft in chat says Nintendo Switch is going to be a bitch to get. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, incredibly. And it's unfortunate.
I'm worried because I'm going to be in class that day, I'm almost positive, so I'm not going to be able to be there at noon or 10 a.m. or whenever this goes live. Like, I'm going to have to enlist. Like, I'm seriously going to be probably asking Alan to help with that. I'm going to be asking Shane to help with that because that boy has stupid, dumb luck with those types of things and will probably get one when nobody else does. I'm going to be enlisting the help of as many people as possible to make sure that I get that stinking Nintendo Switch when it comes out. Like, is there anybody at Nintendo that listens to
the
show?
Well, also, the price point, too, because if that price point's not right, then who cares?
Actually, if anybody from Nintendo did listen to the show, they probably stopped because of a certain individual. But
I'm so lovable.
You are. He really is. If you're still out there because you want to hear the ugly truths and the ugly truthiness and both sides of whatever, if you're still out there, I just want to know. How can I make sure I get one of these things? I'm not even asking for a free one. Look, I'm not even going to ask for that. Just how do I ensure that I get one?
Well, you see, you got to play Super Mario Run. You got to go pick that up, and you got to get you got to get all the black coins and the different levels.
Fine.
And then you got to make a blood sacrifice to Nintendo.
What? How old does the animal need to be? No, I'm kidding. I would never. PETA, don't call the show. All right, can I sacrifice food?
That's okay, Rob. PETA kills more animals than it saves. It's true.
I should have. Here comes the sledgehammer.
And you know what? PETA isn't very good bread either, so.
No, PETA's amazing bread. What are you talking about?
PETA Kitchen is even better.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got another call coming in. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ray Cheerleader.
Hey, buddy. What's on your mind?
Not a whole lot. I was going to say that I recently discovered a game. I don't know how if it's new per se. It's new to me, but I was wondering if you, the three of you, have heard of it. It's called Planescape Torment.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I've not played it.
I played D&D for a long time, and that game completely didn't interest me.
Oh, why not, Darsara?
Because I'd rather actually play a Planescape scenario instead of a game based on it.
Now that you mention it, Planescape's been around for a while, huh?
Planescape's been D&D at least since the mid to early 90s.
Okay, we played Planescape, my high school group. When I was a senior in high school, played Planescape. Now that like this is all coming up.
Because it
was
the one where the elves were super tall. Yeah. It was all desert. No, that was the other one. That was the... No, but Planescape was one that had the tieflings and the...
That was my first D&D.
Yeah.
Was this. Yes. Okay.
But I know the game. I just didn't play it.
So, yeah, but I have to admit, like, D&D has a ton of games that are available on, like, PC and stuff, and I really haven't played a lot of them. Again, it's just a matter of there's so many games. I could play one game a day, and I still wouldn't be able to play them all. But have you checked out the game?
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just saying, have you checked out the game, and what are your thoughts?
Actually, I discovered the game, because, you know how I've been mentioning the GOG is having their winter sale, and one thing they've been doing is on their Twitch channel, they've been having their people show off some of the games that are on sale, one of which was Planescape Torment, and that game really caught my eye. It had isometric dungeon crawling look to it, almost like a cross between old school Diablo meets trying to think here,
like Baldur's Gate, because they say it was on that Baldur's engine. Gate. Yep.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I didn't realize just how old this game was, believe it or not, Raginator. And that makes sense. You discovered it through Good Old Games, which does a lot of the old games. Get this. It's older than the show. December 12th, 1999 was when this game came out. And now that I'm looking at the box art, I'm like, I do remember this because this came out not long after we were playing this D&D thing. So I remember it did catch my eye at first.
Yeah. The game does definitely looks interesting. In fact, it looked interesting to the point where I decided to fork over the money to get it, especially since it was on sale at the time. The only downside is it'll probably be a while before I can install it because my hard drives are filled to the brim with games right now, so I'm going to have to invest in another hard drive so I can install it. But
well, this should be a way smaller game than probably some of the other stuff you're rocking on your hard drive, so you may have to sacrifice something to at least free up the space for this.
Yeah. In fact, I had to uninstall quite a few of my larger games just make room for the smaller ones already. Like I had to uninstall Final Fantasy 13-2, for example.
Okay, well, that's a whopper of an install. That's like a 60-gig install. You should be able to install the entire library of good old games with that type of space.
Yeah, but in fact, right now I'm trying to save up my nickels and dimes so I can get another hard drive. But I just wanted to point that game out to you, just in case the three of you haven't heard of it. It definitely looks interesting, at least to me anyway. So, and plus, as long as I'm on the subject of GOG, it's a little bit too late to do it right now for the recent batch of games that they had, but they got a feature on there called GOG Connect. The three of you familiar with that?
I feel like yes, but I keep thinking of GOG Galaxy, the client. What's GOG Connect?
Basically, the short version is assuming that you have a Steam account.
Oh, right. Yes, you can get the Steam stuff on GOG. Yes, I do know that. Yes.
Oh, all right. Yeah, sometimes it's not worth it, at least in my opinion. Sometimes it is. Sometimes... it's weird. Like, a lot of times, Steam has better deals in terms of prices, but they don't have, all the nice little extras like the soundtrack or behind the scenes stuff or whatever. Whereas the GOG version does. So, if on the rare occasion they you happen to have, let's say, I'm just gonna pull this out of my ass here. Let's say, Dragon Age Origin on Steam, all of a sudden you connect your two accounts together, you might get Dragon Age Origin for free on GOG, and they'll give you like the soundtrack and avatars and stuff like that. So
yeah, but the companies have to agree to it, right? So it's a very limited selection of games. It's not going to be like your entire Steam library or anything crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And even then, you have to check it on a fairly regular basis, because there's like a limited window for you to grab the free games. It's only on average, maybe 4 or 5 days a window period where you can grab the games for free. Occasionally, they do repeat certain titles every so often, but you never know when those titles are going to show up and if it's going to show up again.
It's
so
to encourage you to check often, for sure. All right.
Exactly.
All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show, but thanks for the call.
Sure. Have a nice night.
You too. Take care. Bye. Let's see. I'm going to try and sneak one more call in if anybody's trying to get in. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Last minute stories, anyone, before I...
Yeah, I was going to mention that Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered is getting some updates for their multiplayer maps, which is nice. They're beginning some new free maps to go along with that. Some actually, they were pretty awesome. They're going to be redoing... what was it? They've got Crash, the holiday version of Crash, which is pretty awesome. Wetworks. I'm trying to remember the rest of the names. It's been so long since I played. But it was basically a lot of the maps, because the multiplayer maps that came with HD Remastered were all of them, and now these are like the rest of them. And it's free, so that's awesome.
Free is always good.
And all the more reason to purchase it.
All right. Well, since the phone lines aren't lighting up, I assume that is it for calls tonight. Thanks to those that called in. If you change your mind, you do want to interact with the show later on, you can always send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. We will be back in 7 days to do it all over again on December 18th. And I can't believe we are actually 2 weeks away from Christmas as of today. This is
the start of Hanukkah.
Well, what, whatever it is you celebrate, just the fact that that's so close to the end of the year is more what I'm talking about. Is it like, it's like, wow, we're like already there at the end of dumpster fire the year.
Just remember latkes on Christmas.
Yay.
Or Asian, second day of Hanukkah.
Asian food if we can find anything
open. You know
open.
What? Huh. We could do latkes on the weekend after because it's still during Hanukkah.
Okay, that works.
And then we can do...
I'll take food anytime.
Asian food of choice.
Awesome.
Or Asian food of availability.
Of availability.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, because this isn't New York City.
Because it's Gay Jumas.
This is not New York City. This is Sacramento, California, and a lot of stuff still closed. So anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We will be back in 7 days. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two or seven about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if your voices aren't here, we can't air them. You can also leave us a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes, Google Play, wherever it is that you found this show. That goes a very long way. Let me tell you, I really appreciate folks that take 30 seconds out of their day to do that. Anyhow, Dark Sakura, welcome back. Great to have you here. We'll see you in 7 days. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I missed you guys. But my aim is improving.
I knew there was a punchline coming to that. My final thought tonight is I'm ready to finish up Chapter 13 in Final Fantasy 15 and see just if it's as bad as some of my Twitter friends made it out to be. I'm excited to see how bad is this going to get at the end of the game. And to come back next week on the show and let you know, hopefully, my final thoughts on Final Fantasy 15. Loki, your final thought, last but not least.
I have to shop for tablets for my kids now.
Really? Is that what they want for Christmas?
That's what my wife wants to get them. And I have to fix her laptop because her hard drive corrupted, so it doesn't work anymore.
All right. Well, we'll be back in 7 more days to do this all again. In the meantime, happy gaming, happy holidays, season for whatever it is you're celebrating, and we'll see you next time here at Orange Lounge Radio. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.